If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it anywhere. You can't do it anymore.
Once again, I am the internet icon, Jackie Jones, along with my right-hand man,
one-inch biceps, the power goat. How about that, Jack?
That was pretty good. Thank everybody, you. Welcome to In Your Head here at iywhitedressing.com, and we are going to get into the head tonight of our guest, Rocky King. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
I'm doing well.
Doing pretty good myself. Oh, yeah, yeah. Feeling much better.
All right.
I was out the last 2 weeks, had some issues, but I'm doing good now tonight, Rocky.
Okay, you're 2 inches, I say. That's good.
It's working his way up.
I'm getting there. Soon it'll be the 24-inch pythons.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Okay.
But, really, it's just, I understand you have an interesting story how you got started in wrestling.
I was living in Carolina, and I was homeless when I came to Atlanta. I was homeless for about a year and a half, and I used to hang out at TBS, where, used to be the, everybody know about TBS.
Saturday night, 6:05 p.m. Eastern. Right?
6:05, baby. I was here growing up, didn't have no internet or nothing, didn't have no TV or nothing. And, all of a sudden, I wanted to be a professional wrestler. And I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, looking for the big life and want to be a professional wrestler. Yeah, it was kind of fun.
So, you go out there, and you said you were actually homeless at the time?
Oh, I was homeless, I say. Oh, I was homeless for a while, yeah.
And, did the wrestlers, they make friends with you and say, give this a go? Or, were they cool with you?
Well, I didn't know no one. I didn't know nobody. I was, 160 pounds. I came to Atlanta just a dream. And I started hanging out at TBS. I go down on Saturday morning. They would kick me out. I think the first show I hit, they broke my arm. So I wouldn't come back. They took that. I worked out with Rocky Johnson. It was so funny, but when I started in Charlotte, North Carolina, I was telling a friend this story a couple of nights ago. Rock, this is a true story. Rock was, about 6-7 years old. I met Rocky Johnson at my high school in South Carolina, and told me he'd like me to come up to Charlotte, North Carolina, and start working out with him. And I went to Rocky Johnson's house, and The Rock was on the step, and he's like holding the bed up. So I'm going to be champion one day. And this was like no kid, okay. And, look at Rock now. So then I moved to Atlanta, homies, and no one down here. And I stayed on the streets, and I kept going to TVS, and then I hung out with Mike Jackson, the great Mike Jackson. Me and George Stiles traveled the whole United States. We went to Canada. We did all the territory. It was a great time.
No, actually, Mike Jackson, we seen wrestle a bunch of times, you know, live recently at the NWA Fan Fest, and you know, still at his age and stuff, the guy can excite the crowd, and he was, you know, walking the ropes, and it was just amazing.
Yeah. Mike is a professional now. He always have, and he always will be.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about George, and we had George on last week. We've had him on the show a bunch of times, one of our favorite people, and so you traveled a lot with him, and like apparently you guys became friends, and you know, what was you and him hit off right away?
Yeah, I mean, George, you know, we were in the same boat. You know, all the superstars, you know, guys, it was kind of different back then. You know, you had to pay your dues, first of all. You pay your dues, nobody give you nothing. You start off by doing jobs, everybody did, you know, except a few people like, you know, people's name, like all the Stone family or someone like that, so everybody else, you know, pay their dues. They pay their dues, and, you know, you go around from territory to territory. It was a great time back then. It really was a great time.
Yeah. When you say that, when you're paying your dues and stuff, was there anybody who tried to, like, take advantage of you, or were most of the guys cool?
Well, you know, I went through a change with a lot of different people, like anybody else, but when I first got my first break in Tampa, Florida, I never forget it. I think 1982 or 83, and the same year that Eddie Grant killed himself. And I met Eddie, and Eddie liked me, and he moved me down to Florida. He said, "I'm going to make you a star." A month later, Eddie killed himself. So that's how my career, when my first big break, God bless Eddie, you know, then I met Pez Watley. That was the best thing that happened to me. I met Pez, and me and Pez became real, real close friends, and Pez basically took care of me. Pez, you know, and Pez took care of me from the beginning, and the day he died, I was loyal to him, and, you know, we were best friends like brothers, matter of fact. So Pez took a lot of stuff that nobody would mess with Pez, so, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I always heard Pistol Pez Watley was like a you know, legit shooter and would know, like, the different holds to put on you, you know, if you wanted to.
If you don't believe that, ass on the hell. Yeah, Pez was a real deal. And Pez was a good guy. Pez was he always working up the young guys. He was always good at fighting. You know, a lot of guys would, you know, like, I'm not going to make sure I'm saying that bad. Nobody not. But I have a few guys, you know, tried to tell me I wouldn't be in Florida, I wouldn't even go home, and why are you here and all that, you know, but I didn't pay no attention to it because it's what I wanted to do, it was my dream, and when nobody going to stop me. Yeah. You know, being homeless didn't stop me, you know, when no person going to stop me.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Ask Ole. Is there a story there with Ole and Pez Watley?
Well, I think all of that story with Ole. You know, he was Ole Anderson, you know. He had a real racist. He would say stuff, you know, that today you can get away with. And I'll never forget, we were sitting in TVS, we were somewhere, and the Rosewater had just started. And Ole walked in the dressing room, Pez was sitting there. And Otis told, said, "Well, somebody said something about giving somebody a seat." And Otis referred the N-word seat. And that guy, no pen, took it down and was like, blah, 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 you know, just playing with it. And everybody like, "Oh, shoot," you know. And they're like, "Oh, okay." So, you know, but then him and Otis was cool, though. They knew each other and they liked each other. But Otis was just like that. He would just come in and say something off wall stuff. You know, he did it for a long time after TVS took over. It was TVS took over. They cut that, you know, they tried to cut most of it out.
There's a, you know, a different generation, too, where people might think, you know, it's okay to say that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, they did. They, you know, they was really, really cold. Mm-hmm. They were really cold, bro. They was cold. Yeah. But, you know, when you wanted to do something, this was your dream, ain't nobody gonna stop you.
Yeah. Did you run into a lot of that, a lot of racism?
Oh, God, man, you're talking racism. Woo. I can write a book on that. I mean, it was like, I broke in Florida, and like I say, I'm not hoping no conversation up the track. I was just, Buddy Robert, he's just one of the people, and I never knew I would be a freak. I know you bring that up, but, and he had a bad thing, teen of people. I mean, he was, you know, he take some of y'all guys, he and I told him, he had a pee on me, I'll kill him. And, you know, I'm like, you know, I was scared because I didn't want to fight him or nothing. I just wanted to be a professional rapper, just crazy stuff, you know. I mean, it was kind of stuff that I was like, I had never seen that like that in my life. You know, I mean, you look like a king or somebody, or they get a girl and you and they own them. I'm like, why did the people get somebody's daughter, somebody's sister? But they didn't kill, man. They didn't kill. They didn't kill.
Like you said, you later on worked with the Freebirds, but Buddy Roberts wasn't around then. But I heard that they liked to they did that even if there's like initiation, like if you're a friend of theirs. And I always thought, I don't think I'd want to be a friend of theirs.
Well, you know, like I said, I've never seen him do it to no one, but I heard about it. But the guy told me about it, and you know, it's frightening. The doo-doo out of me because I knew the IP on me. I was kidding. I mean, just for that, you know, I mean, I wasn't no bad guy. I wasn't shooting nothing, but I wasn't scared of nobody. And you know where I came from, you know, it ain't nothing you do. You know, you end up in the mall, you pee on people that I came from. You know, so it was kind of weird for me that any man that somebody did some stuff to them like that. So it was kind of weird, but you know.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem. He didn't bother me. He never bothered me.
You know, you said you're traveling with Mike Jackson and George South and going from territory to territory. What you could do back then really can't do now. Do you have any particular favorite territories to wrestle for?
Oh, man, I really enjoyed the whole. It was like going to college to me. You know, I broke in Florida. It's from Florida. We were traveling all around the country. You know, Minnesota. We would go. We was me and George. We'd get together in Atlanta. So we leave at Charlotte, come to Atlanta, we go to Birmingham, we would drive to Winnipeg, Canada, and do 5 matches, brother. And the last match, you got the Road Warrior. I mean, you know, then you drive all the way back home, you go to Florida, you go to Louisiana, you go to, I mean, it was great then. The territory, it was just a great day for Rousey because you always can find somewhere you can go work. Mm-hmm. Not like today, you know. It wasn't Vince, you know, us the PNA. You ain't got nowhere to work. So it was a good time for professional wrestling to me, in my view, anyway.
Yeah, you mentioned the Road Warriors. What was it like to be in the ring with the Road Warriors, taking some of the moves, the Doomsday Device?
Well, you know, back then, to me, it was no big deal. I mean, you know, we need y'all always. We got the top guys. The top guy always looked for me and George. Because me and George could work. We didn't mind doing no job, you know. We didn't have no hang up like most guys. So, you know, they come out and pick us out. You know, I want George, I want Roger. So it was an honor to me when somebody walking like down, somebody said, I'm gonna give me that kid over there. You know, and you're like, wow, you know, you knew you had made it in. You knew you had made it in, you know, it's like playing football. You expect the contact. If you couldn't take it, you shouldn't be in it. So, you know, and Hawk and Elmo really good to me. Both of them treated me really good. Both of them treated me really good. If I can give them anything, they would let me have it. And I think somebody else got really good to me, Ronnie Garvin. Ronnie Garvin, most people, you know, thought Ronnie was a prick, but Ronnie was really good to me. I mean, he had an airplane. Once he fell out of the airplane, you made me ride with it. I mean, he made me pee my clothes a couple of times, but, you know, Ryan was a nut, but he was a good guy. He was a big guy to me.
I know George has said this many times, you know, that he was one of Flair's favorite opponents, and I know you wrestled Flair, and, you know, what's that, you know, is that proud? It's like someone like Ric Flair or a top guy, you know, wants to work with you specifically for a TV match because they know it's going to be a good match?
Yeah. You really came to the major the top. You know, they're like young people now talking about what a job guy do. Baby, when we was in the dressing room, it's funny people use job guy because it's funny to me because I knew they don't really know nothing about their business. Because when you walk in the dressing room, everybody said that. Everybody's even. We're nobody looking down on you. You know, I rode with Rick and Robert. We was friends. You know, all the guys. We had a few people, darling. You know, guys that thought they were better. But most of the guys, you know, they were just down to earth. You know, they were just good guys. They were just, you know, once you get in that door and they knew you were serious, you got full respect for most of the guys. I say 75% of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a few Kelly Blanchard and people like that, yeah, you know, thought they were better than everybody else besides them, you know. Most of the guys were good guys, you know.
Actually, that's weird to bring up, Tully. I just heard, I was watching an interview, I think it was Bruce Beefcake, and he was saying that Tully took advantage of him early in his career before he took off and was, you know, a big star. And so was that something he did a lot, you think?
Oh, man, Tully was an asshole. Okay? Excuse my language, it's excuse me, kids. I mean, he was, you know, little 5'7", whatever his thing was. I mean, you know, he would always complain. There always was something with him. There always was something with him. I mean, me and Teddy, you go down the road and laugh, and, you know, you can't beat nobody in the dressing room. And, you know, I guess his father was a wrestler, whatever. He got this huge break, but he was the, oh, God, man. I mean, he complained about everything. You know, like back then, we had, you know, that guy had curls. That was a big thing, grease. It was some of the free wind in that valley coming down. They ain't fixing the road right. You know, this guy getting this huge break and push, you know, like I said, 5'7", and I'm not comfortable talking about nobody because it's just true. I mean, you can just ask around. I mean, you know. And like I said, God bless his soul, they say he's preaching now and all this, but he was a real, real, real. I mean, he looked like somebody didn't really hurt him.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that before, and I think that's part of, I've always said he came off as like a natural guy you didn't like when you saw him on TV, and maybe that's a reason.
Well, you know, it was so funny because I think somebody told me he went to Vince up there and worked, got an Asian job, so he didn't go back because most of the guy hated him up there from what he had did to them, you know, when he was in Little Power with WCW, when he was back in the day. I mean, I don't know if that could be true, but, you know, I got it from a real good source.
Yeah, I've heard the same. I think it was JBL was not a fan of his. And
well, there's a bunch of guys. I'm just saying, it might not be. A lot of guys didn't say nothing to him, but, mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah, he wasn't that love, I can tell you that.
What was the, how'd the Crockett family treat you?
Well, you know, I got along. Jimmy was nice to me. Jackie was. Sometimes he had the racist, you know, he was really bad at the racist stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, actually Jimmy was really nice to me. I remember I bought a house one time. And, well, first of all, I put down a house, and they went bankrupt. I didn't know that I was going bankrupt. You know, and the house was him, was bankrupt. I was, you know, like, hey, Jimmy, I just spent my last money. You know, that was a family trying to take my house, and Jimmy, like, hey, you know, this guy wrote me a check, like, hey, take care of your business. So Jimmy was really good to me. And he was, I, you know, I admit, he was really good to me. I ain't had that much to do with David, but Jimmy was really good to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, when WCW, well, when NWA was sold and became WCW, was it totally different to work for?
Well, it got a lot better, but they kept hiring the same people. You know, Dusty, Otis, Flair, they'll go back and forth ways. I mean, it was just, I don't know. It was okay, but TBS, they didn't really keep it what was going on. You know, they just gave the reign to a lot of the idiots that, you know, they put all that money out there, and they just got worse in the end. You know, then nobody had to go out and hustle for their money. They get them big checks, and, you know, they kept paying their friends. They show everybody. Well, I knew WCW was not at fault because, I mean, they just throwing money away. I mean, it was just like, you know, dude, all the friends, they came in and do these big contracts. I never get Lex Luger. Was, because he didn't know how to do a small package. Me, Jordan, and Sean in the dressing room, they signed him $350,000. You know, we all looking around, whoa, Rick and Robert got like out of 125 or something. You know, the first contract came out. You know, and he's like $350,000. We all looking around, wow. But Nick got a lot of breaks. He got a lot of breaks. He made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. What was he like as a person? Because I've heard some people who said he was a good guy, and I've heard some people say the opposite.
Nick was the most favorite person in the dressing room. Let me tell you that.
Right.
He came in, he didn't fool around with no underneath guys or nothing like that. He was all, you know, with slam everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I never really had no conversation with Lex about Lex never even talked to you.
Yeah.
You got to work him or something like that. Aside that Lex, you know, he was on trial by himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, another guy that really took off about that same time would have been Sting. What was Sting like?
Sting was great. Sting was great. I rode with Sting. Now that when Sting first come in, we rode together. I remember when I was getting the shaft one time with the oldest, Sting called me off his side. He told me, you need to do this, you need to do that. It's okay, nobody, I told you. But he was a good guy. He was a good guy. He was, I think Sting kind of talked to everybody. He was sitting there with the underneath guys. He never changed me. You know, from what I see with Sting, he started making his money the same way.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, very few people have ever heard say anything bad about Sting.
Sting was a good guy. I really was a good guy. It was surprising him and Lex got so close.
Mm-hmm. Because
that was like opposite. You know?
Yeah. And just as a fan, I think you could see one improved a lot more as a wrestler, and the other one kind of pretty much stayed the same.
Yeah,
relied on his body.
Yeah, one of them never went no way. He got this push, but you know he had to move.
You mentioned Dusty too. Was what was Dusty like?
Dusty was the American Dream, baby. Now one thing I can give Dusty credit for is he had talent. He would use you. He had a good mind about the wrestling. You know, he was a Dusty. You know, he loved Dusty. You know, I never get me in the dressing room taking a shower. He looked in the mirror, you know, belly hanging over like, I'm a beautiful man. I'm a beautiful man. I'm like, wow, what are you looking at, buddy? You know, he's looking at himself like, wow. You know, stuff like that. But, you know, Dusty was Dusty.
Mm-hmm. Now, he came up with a lot of the big cards like Starrcade and War Games and all those, and so definitely a great mind for wrestling. But what did you think about those big events when they would do them, like the even before the pay-per-views really started, but when they would do like the Starrcade tours and all those things?
It was great for the professional wrestling because some of the things, it was like we went from living in the pocket to living now, you know, in upper class, living, you know, like the rest of the athletes. Like, for example, I remember we used to go to the Omni in Atlanta, and we used to have high cars, so we had so, you know, tough cars. And then after the pay-per-view, before the pay-per-view started, something like that, the money got better. The money got better, and you see it, you know, you can see it coming. Like, every 7 years, it seems like we have a cycle of, you know, wrestlers come along and it gets bigger. And it was at that time where he was like hot, man. We were in Charlotte, North Carolina. They didn't have no football team, no basketball team. We were here. With Charlotte Greenboro, man, we used to run $90,000 houses back in 80, 85. I mean, think about that. You know, $900,000. That's my first check I made in Jim Crockett Promotion. I was in Greenboro, North Carolina. I never forget this. I remember like yesterday. Says I was to take your boots with you. Take it about this. So I was in Florida. Pierce came to Charlotte. Even though I was from there, I didn't want to come back. Because I was having such a good time in Florida. And so I came up. I remember even talking to Doug because I got the key and everybody the key. Doug said, bring him home. So I went to Greenboro that night. Somebody didn't show up. And I worked. I think I made like $750, something like that. I mean, it was like, wow. I had to make some money. I carried that check by month. You know, it was great
thing
that happened to me.
Mm-hmm. When you started making, like, good money and stuff after, you know, being homeless and everything, did that affect you? Was it like, you know, did you get into some bad things? Or were you, You know, did you take care of your money? Or?
Well, my thing was, I didn't make that much to take care. I made more money.
But you're making more money than you were used to.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? The my problem came after I got hurt at the end of my career. You know, my back went out and I got depressed and stuff like that. But them times were good old days, bro. They were great old days. We were working, we were making money. You know, I worked out. I stayed in the gym. It was no time for, you know, you was like, you know, you were keyed in. You was, you know what I mean, George? Now we go to the gym in the morning. You work at night on Saturday. You work in, you know, you work PBS Saturday morning. You either do Columbus or Macon or Baltimore that night. Double shots on Sunday. So, really, you didn't have time to get in the trouble.
Mm-hmm. And you were always in awesome shape. Was there a lot of women around at that time?
That was about my biggest problem, really. That was my biggest problem. It wasn't nothing else. But, I mean, you know, you as a young man, you had to be ready like that, you know?
Of course,
just,
yeah.
You young man from country, South Carolina, you know, and all of a sudden you move that land, you're homeless, and all of a sudden you got around in them old private jets. You know, it was just like a dream come true, brother. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
It was some crying about the private jets, and, you know, it was a good time, bro.
Inch, did you have a question?
Yeah, I had a question from the chat room. Specsun, well, this is actually from message board, excuse me. He mentions that you were one of his favorite characters back in the 90s, and he would like to know, how long did it take to put on the makeup when you were managing the Fabulous Freebirds?
You know what? I never dreamed in my wildest days I'd be wearing the makeup. it didn't take that long, I guess 15 minutes, but it was just so weird. I go from, you know, baby face, you know, working, and all of a sudden I'm under just crazy, wild, Freebirds, you know, Michael Hayes. I mean, it was like, wow, I hadn't seen that part of it. And it was like, oh, man, it was just, oof.
Little Richard Morley.
Yeah. You know, it's funny about that character. Me and Teddy Long, we've been friends for over 30 years, and we're still best friends now. We talk about every day. And Teddy used to get, I don't know if y'all come back too young, know what they call it, K-Station.
Mm-hmm.
She tell you what's going on here in territory. And so me and Teddy riding, going to Gainesville, summer, we always rode together. And Teddy looked over at me, I was sitting, he woke me up and said, you're going to become a little Richard Marley today. Man, what are you talking about? Man, put that paper away. And I walked back like, you gonna be, when it started out, they like put me rock and roll with all our soul. That's what the gimmick that I was supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they, Michael wanted me to be with them, and next thing I know, I was the people.
So you found out about it in the, like the Wrestling Observer, one of the news sheets, before you actually knew about it.
Yeah, we see it was the case. Every student in the office would call this sheet, and they would tell you what's going on. You know, it's funny, weird, man. I didn't get it. Teddy always would get it. And he was like, man, you're going to be a little Richard Marley. Like, the world are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I became a little Richard Marley. That was on the worst time of my career.
Would the people that, the stooges that would tell the guys that for the news sheets, if anyone found out that they were doing that, like, what kind of trouble would they get in?
Well, you know, I think the office kind of, they were part of the, it was so weird because it had to be someone named in the office call. They knew everything.
Right.
I went to Kansas City, and, you know, next thing I know, a couple of girls got my phone number. They got where I was living in the office. I didn't even know what the office was in Kansas. I'm not, like, be honest with you, I didn't know it was a Kansas, Missouri, Kansas, cat. No idea.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went up there, you know, we were stayed in St. Louis, but you could barely bridge with Kansas. And so the office was there. And I get that, I got fans there. Like, I didn't know what the office was. So that's how they mostly got that KFA sheet. I believe it or not, they did.
How was that, like, pitched to you? Like, you're going to be with the Freebirds. Like, whose idea was it?
Well, you really go back to everything. Thunderbolt Carlson. It was kind of... Thunderbolt had got in only with good friends, and Thunderbolt didn't want Noel Black to manage or do nothing while he was around. I mean, it was so weird that some of the black guys were more racist than some of the, white guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Thunderbolt was one of them, excuse me, I mean, stop that, I wouldn't call nobody name. Let me stop. But he was kind of like that, you know, he just got that big old ego, man. You know, they want to beat everybody. They don't ever want to do a job. And you know, first thing you know, it's a work. It's a work. It ain't real. You know, and he got a big old ego. So he came me, and I think he was mad at the style of and the Rock and Roll Express. That I put you with Rock and Roll Express. They told me like 2 weeks before that I was here. So I did a great interview for me because I was already playing with Rick and Robert. You know, I just drive them around. And I was working the first match, so I was making a lot of money because, you know, Ring of Rock was drawing like dogs. And then all of a sudden, I went from walking in there and they said, you're going to be the Creeper. I thought it was awful, really. You know what I mean? I need the Creeper like I need a hole in my head.
did they like having you with them, or?
But they wanted me with them. They wanted me with them. You know, I had a little co-driver, and I was a good worker, and they needed something else because they were, you know, everybody trying to survive. And we was in a new area then. Era now, well, you know, the TV, like you said, we was on. And the TV, the pay-per-view TV was coming. So everybody trying to figure out how to keep that paycheck cut. Which I was in a great position because you was an underneath guy and you look good, can work, you always had a job. You know, most guys, you know, you're on top or in the middle. If you something go wrong, you know, you ship out. But if you can really work, you know, everybody want to work with you. So you ain't got no problem in me, job. We used to laugh all the time. We didn't care about doing no job. I mean, you know, it's fake. I mean, it's work. You know, everybody else. Like, I never did Mike Jackson talk to me one time. We was in Alabama. And, you know, it was TV. It was like, well, it was bad, and that made people show up. So Bob also never told everybody for the guys that, this is the way they work, the guys that do TV and win and get a certain amount of dollars, don't get paid. The guys that do the job get paid. And I got in the winning line. Mike Jackson looked at me like, you better get in this line over here. I'm like, oh, you right. You know, and then from that day on, I realized it wasn't worth. It wouldn't, you know, ain't nobody beating you up. So, you know, who cares?
Inchman, was another question from the chat room or the message board?
Yeah, I got one. Another one from the message board. Change Man, he would like to know, what were your memories on working with Denny Brown?
Me, Denny, was, we used to have a good time. Denny was a good guy. Me, Denny, became, we were good friends. I guess the funny part that I don't know about Denny was, me and Denny was working, we worked with junior staff and everything. And at one time, you know, when I first started working with Denny, I didn't have it. You know what I mean? You know, I knew a little bit, but I couldn't put it all together. And by the time I ended with Denny, I never get one day, I had blown him up. Denny kind of got a little heavy, and I had blew him up. And he was like, Rocky, you out there doing stuff that I didn't call. I'm like, I can call the match myself. So like, okay, well, next match, I'm going to let you call it. And then I called him back, and he laughed, and we was Denny was a good guy. And we had some real good, I think, some of the best matches I had with Denny.
He was, a junior heavyweight champion? That was a pretty big title for a while, and you had a lot of matches with him. Was there any talks for you winning the title?
Nah. No, I was Denny was Dusty Boy, and everybody knew that. You know, he was Dusty Boy, and he was begging to take that belt off him.
Well, I know you did. There was an angle once on TV with the Horseman and you, and Ole was like yelling at you. Do you remember that?
Yeah. He only had a bunch of running, so you know, I can talk all day about Ole because he only had a lot of running, bro. A lot of running. I remember one time TVS 5 Ole because all it would make, everybody was flying, he would make me drive. And I guess he might make me quit. And I show up. I don't care whether it's New York or California, I show up, brother. And then I think it's the guy, Shane Hurd or the Hurd family, he was making me drive. And I think he fired over there. Because, you know, TBS didn't want none of that. You know, they was, you know, a worldwide company, and they didn't want that racist stuff. But they put it in the hands of the Ku Klux, though.
Mm-hmm.
They put the Ku Klux in charge.
No, was he actually involved in that, or in the Klan, or?
Well, I mean, well, he might have been. I mean, you know. I mean, well, you can't call you a nigga with nothing. I mean, you know, you walk in there, just like, I mean, excuse me, any word. I mean, only one of the worst races I ever met. Ever Charlie McGowan. I remember Charlie McGowan calling Teddy niggas and, you know, stuff like it was funny. It was a joke to them. It was a joke to them. It was a real joke to them. I mean, you know, a guy like me, Teddy Long, he caught hell, man. You know, guy like Morris and a guy like that, they didn't catch no hell. You know, they came in big time name, but Teddy Long and myself, Teddy, they used to treat Teddy so bad, man. Teddy was no wrestler. Teddy was, you know, the guy put the ring up. But before then, he was the guy put the ring up. Okay? And he's cleaned up and everything. That Teddy, he deserved everything he got. Because that brother, man, I never get, we was in Miami one time. Everybody flew except me, Teddy. We drive all the way to Miami. And, you know, go ahead.
No, you go on. I was going to say, I've actually heard Teddy on one of the WWE shows saying how much racism he had to put up with during that time period.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, they had the February thing, and I don't watch it, but every time they had Dusty on there and all these guys, I'm like, damn, y'all got the racist one that did it. You know, I'm black on that, tell the truth. You know, on there, he got a pair with racist to him. And Tony Perry took care of Tony. Perry was a good friend of Tony. I remember, I've been running that rally for the last 15 years now. And Ted Perry was always right, Tony, and we paid. And I remember when Teddy told me that Tony said that, I was like, wow. Wow. You know, I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's actually in his book, too. He says that all the racism that he ever dealt with was from other black wrestlers that he didn't have,
you didn't see any. And you know for yourself, come on, bro. All the racists went in. Nobody probably didn't say that to him out front because he was a big old dude. Because
right.
Said, come on, yeah. Man, how did you not miss that? I mean, that, you know, I look at this and I'm saying, what y'all really doing black? You know. Dang, put somebody on that chair, the truth. Because everybody in the world know. You know, Penn was one of the greatest guys that, you know, I mean, Penn was a great guy. You know, he worked, he had a heart attack. And I couldn't believe Tony said that, you know, working with Tommy Rich and all the guys. I know how racist they were. Can't nobody got to tell me.
Was it? Did you work much in the up like Northeast? Did you ever work for the WWE?
No. And you, Mike Hayes, up there. I never worked that long, Mike Hayes. Yeah. Long Mike Hayes up there. I would never have a job up there. My life is. I'm happy, brother. I work with the homeless down here in Atlanta. I see a lot of homeless play. I got Jeff Bock working. He worked with me. John Rocker worked with me. I got, you know, everybody in Atlanta worked with my homeless place. They helped me raise money for the homeless. We raised money for the veterans. I mean, you know, my life is complete now. I got everything I ever wanted.
What are you doing? You still wrestle once in a while, right?
I wasn't by the most I do now. I put on shows for nonprofit. I got a school starting up next month. I'll be in Riverdale, Georgia. I got a building. We didn't, you know, I just help people, man. I enjoy going out. We see people under bridges. I don't got all kind of awards from the governor. I got back to the White House 2 times last year. You know, my life's complete. I do a lot of stuff for all like now, like well, about 2 years ago, we got 15,000 cans to it for the homeless. In January, we got 500 coats and hats and sweaters at the Marietta Civic Center, me, John Rocker, and my pastor. So, you know, I do a lot of stuff that rewarded my life that I wouldn't change it for nothing in the world.
Mm-hmm. And you still train people?
Yeah, I do train and work out, and that's what I do. That's all I do.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember you were part of the Dudes with Attitude for a little while, too.
Yeah.
Well, is that fun?
That was good old days. That was a good old day because I got a chance. I'm probably one of the few people got a chance to work with superstars, Billy Graham, and in a career. I worked with Jimmy Valiant, Paul Jones, Johnny Weaver, and all them guys were good guys to me. I mean, they were good guys. And superstar Billy Graham was the greatest. He was the greatest. Yeah, I mean, he was the greatest. Boogie Woogie was good to me. So that was a really good time, you know, till the X-Men came in. Sting was part of it. He was great. Mm-hmm. You know, they all of a sudden, you know, they would put me out of the door. But that was good. That was really good.
How did the Freebirds run for you? Like, why did they split you guys up?
The Freebirds?
Yeah.
You know the answer to that. You know the answer to that. Well, you might have had a complication, and after that, you know, they didn't have no use for me.
Did they ever think of, like, maybe doing some type of feud with you? Because, you know, you were with them for a few months, and you split up. It'll be kind of a natural thing, then at least you'd have, like, a couple matches together.
Davis Michael was, you know, always kissing ass and in the office. And, you know, so, you know, it's just, I just couldn't take no more, Michael. I mean, you know, I just, you know, Michael was one of them guys that you're making the king, and you have a problem with him. And I didn't mind working with him, but I was going to look up to him and make him know better than what he was. And, you know, I'll never forget the story. We was taking a shower one night. And I'll tell the story. I was going to tell this on you. Jimmy Garden hit the crowd. And so Michael didn't want me to get Jimmy my towel. And when I told Jimmy, well, hey, I cut down half. I cut down half you had for the towel. And next thing you know, I think it was Bob Roof or one of them, said he didn't win. And I knew then, I said, well, I can't cook with Michael no more. And we were on that road. I think that guy now, I can't think his name right now. He made the joke where black people don't play hockey. So I'm in the car with him. And I'm like, okay. And I said to Michael, he called me an N-word in front of the boys. And I said to him, I'm like, hey, if I can, you go be my partner, and you say that in front of everybody else, why do you think anybody else going to say it? And so, you know, one thing led to another one, and we got a big fight in St. Louis, and the late Gandhi, and Gondo, that friend of mine, and he was still in with all the stuff going on, and I tried double teaming me, but, you know, Gandhi wouldn't have nothing, he wouldn't have nothing to do with that. And me and Michael got in a big fight, and then the next morning I was at the airport, and your dog got into the dog, so like, you know, he had taken advantage of me. He tried to take advantage of me. And, and Butch, all of them said something to him. Except Ron Simmons, he came up to me and told me, nigga, come on, playing. I mean, I never forget that day. I mean, Ron Simmons, he was like, you know, he acted like it was a big joke. But all the other black guys didn't like it. They thought it was, you know, and I knew then I needed a break. I never even asked for that job. I just left one on my own. Cause I knew it was just, you know, it was just, I needed a break.
So,
and then I went back.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you started doing a refereeing at some point, too.
Yeah, well, at the end of my career, I was a referee. I was in the rain crew. I made more money than I ever made in my career. I mean, you know, I was getting like a, you know, some dollar night, put the ring up there, I referee, I got paid for the referee, and It was a good time. You know, I thought Side Nasty was a good time. You know, but everybody was making so huge amount of money that it was unbelievable.
I don't know if you know this or not. It was a few years ago. It was like the who's out there quite a bit. It was Michael Hayes had recently called Mark Henry the N-word in WWE. You know, behind the scenes.
Somebody told me about that, but that's not surprising. You know what? You know, you got to realize that same crew, and I find not to even deal with WWE because it ain't got nothing to do with my life. But when you got the same thing. And my day, you know, you got to race it. You got to race it. And so that's why I know that them ain't really serious about a lot of stuff because, you know, that same NWA same stuff. You know, they don't like you, you don't want them. I bet you right now if I had a fire, I had 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 fans right in now. Get Rocky King a job. I look better than half the guys up there. I'm in better shape than half the guys up there. And, every guy called him, Mark was talking to me, come my name. And I know I've been a good athlete. Pull my picture up today and see. I ain't on no juice or nothing. I look the same I did 20 years ago. Side of hell. Mike Hayes. Mike Hayes ain't gonna let you get no breakup, yo. You gotta kiss his ass. And I wouldn't even want to kiss no ass. But you know what, brother? You know what? I'm not crying because God's been really good to me. He's been really good to me.
Now, when you were traveling with George South, do you have any particular funny road story?
With George, one of the best stories for me was George and Rufus Jones. George, when we moved to Kansas City, I don't know if you probably too young, y'all too young to know, but we had a deal with Jim Crockett Ball, Kansas City. And we moved to Kansas City, and me and George both in they call it the Vice. And we got a video joint here, it's blue joint here. And you know, and I was married or nothing. And George was like, he was about to be out of his mind. He wanted to go home. We all wanted to go home. But George always was a praying guy. He always had his Bible, you know, fooled no girls or nothing. George was a good guy. George was good. As a matter of fact, George was the best person that I could have been around. Because he always, with the stuff that was going on with the guys, George didn't have a part of that. And so my role with George, so that always kept me balanced. That kept me balanced. You know, you'd be reading the Bible, or you'd be, he'll drop like a Christian word on you or something, but he always was positive. So he saved my life a lot because I grew up in the church and stuff, and when I got to the wrestling world, I had never seen nothing like that. You know, guys, you and they, girls, and, you know, and all the stuff that was going on. And I want a lot of guys, I think that they have a problem now because they cheated so many people. You know, they took advantage of a lot of people. I mean, I saw it every day. And, you know, I know a lot of guys now don't have a prosecutor here because of the way they treated everybody.
That's too bad.
I think it's a God. You get what you get what you put into it. You treat people bad, you will be in on my job. And sometimes people say people got a little money on TV, they happy. But you see how many guys that died and overdosed and you know the guy that I don't travel the road with that's dead now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even count it.
Yeah.
And most of them guys, excuse my lady, brother. There's a lot of them alive. They did some horrible stuff, man. They did a lot of horrible stuff, man. If I was writing a book, some of the stuff that guys did, they get embarrassed of people. I know two guys that they made during a wheelchair. So two of the guys in a wheelchair, they had sex with her and he had a wheelchair. Let me tell you about that now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cold stuff that takes you the money. You go and your kid come up and want your route to go there, take your money, and it was a hard time. You know, a lot of them, they don't have a pocket this year. They all broke down. I mean,
Do you have any injuries from your wrestling career?
My back went out on me. My back went out on me, and when I came back, I think it was 98. By the time I came back, I was used at the training school, the powerhouse. I went back there and said it long before we got down there. They're like, come on, you still got like all problems. And you back there. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. Like, now you can. So I went back there and Jody came on me. And so Jody told me I would never wrestle. He said, you know, he got the free road. And he said it took me back in. And my back went out, but Ernie Miller told me, my back, he said, your back can get well. And I start surfing, you know, getting in the water, something. Today I walk around, I don't feel any need a little bit, but I'm happy. I think I got to the time I want to. I mean, I don't have no problem. I just don't want to wrap it anymore.
Did anyone ever rib you? Do you have any funny rib stories?
Not really. I had a lot of respect from a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first night I was in Green World, Maddie Fernandez, and Maddie was crazy and shit. And Maddie, I'll never forget, I did my match, I walked back in the dressing room, and Maddie said to me, why do you want to do that fucking arm band? You know, I was... Yo, man, that yellow ass dude, I was saying to him, what? And he said, oh, he's got to do it. That day on, just did all the guys like, you know, most of the guys, so, you know, they always took me in, and I worked up, you know, like only a few of them guys, like I say, 75-80% of the guys, I didn't have no problem. They liking me, when I go down there, Terry talking about, they maybe talking about to you while you're seeing, blah, 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 blah. Like, everybody talking about you, everybody loves you. I had a lot of love from a lot of guys. Madison was one of them. Richard Robert. All the guys. Most of all the guys. The guys that like said it back to me, like it to everybody. So he went back and sang to me out of nothing. No, I had a good career, man. I do it. If I had to do it over, I'd do it the same way.
Yeah. That's cool. How do you stay in the trade? Because I have seen your pictures. You look just as good as you did in your prime.
Hey, what was the question now?
How do you stay in such great shape?
Well, I run every day. I do good. I'm mad about my food. I mean, I might give a grief once a week. I get out there, I run, I train. No good. I might drink a wine cooler. I might have a little drink here and there. My life is basically, I'm at home watching the ball game. I cook, I go to church, I'm out having the homeless. My life is full, man. It's like, I feel like I'm 20. I feel better than I did when I was 25. I'm 55 years old. And I feel great. I feel a bit more insane. And like I said, I got a lot of friends. My life is great, man. I go fishing, I play golf, you know, I play golf with like Bill Negro, the Braves, all the Braves guys, Odin Nixon, John Rocco, I'll be those, you and your friends, you know, me, John's friends. So I live a great life.
Well, I really appreciate coming on tonight.
Man, I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all do a great job, man. And we got people that join us off on. Y'all can't hear me.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love to have you back sometime.
Thank y'all, man. Anytime. And the thing I ever do for you, if you're inside of Atlanta, let me know. I think I'm going to break a night and no more. We go out and have a couple of coffee.
That's our intro over here. I can't say it's about me, but intro over here, he's actually straight edge. He doesn't drink or do any drugs or anything like that.
Keep my nose clean.
Okay, well, hey, he's probably looking at him dressing, though.
Hey, you know.
Hey, man, thank y'all, guys, man. Y'all probably make a lot of good memories about the wrestling, about the old days of wrestling, and that's a good thing.
We appreciate it. And thanks again, man, and have a good night.
Hey, God bless y'all, man. Thank you.
You too. Bye.
You know, guys, this is, of course, Mr. Number One, George South, inyourhead.com, and just, you know, there's not old school or new school. There's just right and there's just wrong.
All right, we're back once again here at In Your Head.
Oh, yeah.
Good times, it's been.
Jack.
Mm.
I know it's been a while.
Yes.
You haven't felt my warm embrace. But your man is back in town.
Incher is back from outer space. Wipe that silly look off your face. I don't know.
That's right.
You know what? I try to change these locks.
Should have made me leave my key. If you had known for just one moment, I'd be back to bother you.
Now, this has turned into the opposite of what we're going to say.
What's that?
I'm glad that you're back!
Okay. Well, that's more like it. You know, I felt terrible last week. You know how they talked about Bobby Lashley, how he had, like, the elevated liver enzymes? Well, I had that, too. And I wasn't on no gas. I'm not getting bigger. All I'm doing is losing weight. I went in, and I weighed 206 pounds. I haven't weighed that since I was probably a teenager. So, I don't know. I mean, I felt terrible. I think I had some trouble. Got some gallbladder trouble, I guess they're saying is what it is. I also think I have some rare disease. But for now, I am back, and I am in form, and I am ready to talk some wrestling. And Austin Aries, he thinks he's the man. He thinks he can just take his penis and rub it anywhere. He was up in Christy Hemme's face with it.
Ah. I think this is a bunch of fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
People are like, he teabagged her, he doesn't stop. I see people literally say that he teabagged her on television.
Yeah. It wasn't quite the teabagging. He just got up in front of her face. I mean, I will say that his member was pretty close to Miss Hemme's face.
There was no gyration. There was no contact of cock to face.
No. But it was kind of a bizarre thing for somebody to just do to a ring announcer.
I didn't see anything wrong. I didn't notice it when I watched it live. Nobody, my mom watched the show, she didn't notice it. And then all of a sudden I go on the internet, but like, oh my God, he's fucking her in the mouth right on TV.
No, you gotta pay money for that one, I bet.
And then I actually told that to my mom, because she happened to watch this episode, and she said, well, is it Christy Hemme, the one that got fired for blowing Triple H? She should be used to having a dick in her face.
Now, that was all rumors. I don't think that was all, like, confirmed anyway.
Well, she went on TV and said, my ass is hungry.
I don't think I've ever had that feeling. I've got a lot of, like, medical problems, but I don't believe my ass has ever been hungry.
Anybody out there, if your ass is hungry, Jack will feed it.
It pukes
a
lot.
If you're a female. Oh, it's really good. Ruined the moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm moving. Oh, well. But, yeah, Mark Madden's all in uproar. He has come to Christy Hemme's defense like nobody else. What the hell has Christy Hemme done for Mark Madden to make him so adamant about defending her? Does he like the way she announces people? And I mean, what's the deal?
He's just an ass. He just wants the bitch. Now, honestly, who watches that? If you're in the wrestling business, okay, first of all, let me break this down. She called them by the wrong name. Her job is to be a ring announcer. She don't know who they are.
Oh, so she announced them by the wrong name?
Yes! That's what set this all off. So then he got in the ring. And
well, have at it, sir. You can rub your crotch in her face as much as you want. She messed up your name.
Yes, and he said, got her face and do it again. So she did it. And then he stood up in the corner. No, he didn't stand up in the corner and grab her face and rub his dick in her eye or her mouth. Or he wasn't even doing a Rick Rude gyration. He didn't touch her. He was inches away. And then people, oh, my God, he didn't do shit. He stood up in the corner like a heel, like a cocky heel, and he was like, yeah, I'm the fucking man. But it wasn't a sexual thing. He wasn't dry humping her.
Yeah.
There was no penetration. There wasn't even a hint at it. There was no hip swiveling. There was no thrusting at her face. There was nothing.
No.
And then... So then he goes about her day. It seems just like a normal day at the office. It's professional wrestling, people. It's not the opera. It's not working a Blockbuster Video. People are saying it's sexual harassment. He should be fired. He should be locked up. There's a guy on Facebook who said he hopes he dies. He hopes he dies a slow, miserable death for this. That's like the man just started raping her right in the ring.
I don't hope the man dies. That's a little drastic. Who was making that? Who was saying that?
Melvin.
Melvin?
Melvin. I'm going to go read this. This is the kind of stuff that people say.
Mm. Well, while you're pulling that up, I mean, I'm not sure what to make of this situation. One of my favorite things, though, is the clip of Larry King talking to Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr. And he looks at Ringo and he calls him George. And then Paul McCartney gets all in an uproar. He's like, what the hell? We're on national TV here. And Ringo's like, oh, it's all right. Just leave him alone. But what if Ringo Starr would have got up and said, I'll teach you to forget my name, Larry. And then he just starts rubbing his crotch in his face. That would have showed that old man.
He did. There was no rubbing. There was no gyrations. There was no penetration. There was no physical contact. He just got up in the corner like he always does. And he's like, yeah, I'm the fucking man. And it ain't. And it's not, well, if you're talking about, you can talk about rock stars, you never seen a rock star rubbing themselves on stage or against a woman. Of course they have.
I will say, though, I got to disagree with you a little bit, Jack. I think it was a little out of line that he would just get up and do that, even if she did mispronounce his name. Am I in an uproar? Do I think Austin Aries should die or anything like that? No, not necessarily. I mean, he's a cocky bad guy heel, but, I mean, it probably wasn't called for him to do that.
This is what he said. This is what Melvin Barry said. I admit that I don't watch TNA, but when I heard about this, Aries should have had his wrestling license revoked. And I'm hanging up whoever's on the line because you're messing up my audio. He said, I heard about this, and Aries should have had his wrestling license revoked. And he should have been charged in a court of law. Aries actually became the number one on my most hated people in wrestling.
You know, I'm going to go to just like these indie shows that happens around me, and I'm going to go up just to the random $20 wrestler, or probably $5 wrestler, who gets. That's his payoff for the night. I'm going to go, do you have a wrestling license, sir?
It is revoked.
If you do, it is revoked. I am the wrestling commissioner.
He says, it took 23 years before the Ultimate Warrior, who I like to call him, the Warthog, got out of the number one spot.
Now, I want to know why he calls the Ultimate Warrior the Warthog. What merits that name for the Ultimate Warrior?
Aries is the ultimate piece of absolute shit. And he is the load his mother should have swallowed.
That's quite vile.
I would hope Austin Aries dies quickly.
that's a little extreme, Melvin. Come on now. Oh, what did all Snarys really do? I mean, it was... I do agree it was probably uncalled for, but, I mean, you know, in the end, he really didn't thrust or anything, you know. It was a little obscene, but...
I don't even think it was... I honestly don't see anything wrong with it. And I'm going to say... And God damn it, whoever's calling in with the fucking phone!
He's got a Rose phone.
You're getting out of here!
They're calling in from, like, 1930s.
Jesus Christ!
It's a friggin' rotary phone. In the day and age of cell phones.
I see this, it drives me crazy. It drives me mad. They're like, well, he should have okayed with it first. It should have been scripted. This is why wrestling... Everyone before this are like, oh my God, wrestling's too scripted. They shouldn't script promos. It's live! That's the beauty of wrestling, is they're live out there, and they improvise at the moment. Just like the old saying, call in the ring. So they're out there, and they're playing off each other, the heels, baby faces, whatever, playing with the crowd, with each other. And if things don't go right, you improvise and change. And he's out there, he's being a heel, he's improvising, he's changing, getting some heel heat. That's the beauty of wrestling. That's what he's about.
I wonder what part of his brain connected with the crowd and thought, you know, this crowd really wants to see me get up into the ropes and rub my crotch into her face.
He did rub his. There was no rubbing.
Oh, he was rubbing. He was like, there's...
He stood up. He just stood there.
he did. I saw the clip. He just stood
she
there.
She sucks. She's not a good ring announcer.
No, she didn't, actually.
She should have!
Now that wouldn't have made TV.
It's live! if you're offended by that, you shouldn't be in wrestling! Guys have more than dicks in their faces in the wrestling! How about a Bronco Buster? That's thrusting! Ric Flair took the Bronco Buster!
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell's just broad to say, I don't want some guy standing up in the corner? How, what of all the stuff they did to Lillian Garcia to make fun of her?
What do they do to Lillian Garcia?
They're always calling her names, calling her horse face.
They do?
Lesbian jokes. On Raw all the time! Triple H is always berating her.
Well, he's Triple H and Austin Aries is Austin Aries, which... In a way, I kind of think Mark Madden's assessment is correct about him.
Like, he's one of the top guys in that company.
Yeah, but if you removed him, they probably wouldn't like notice any sort of
or
ratings
if you removed
impact.
Chris D'Amy.
It's kind of the same thing. But it's kind of like it's TNA. It's like if you did anything to the promotion, would anybody really know? I mean, who really watches it?
That's not the point. I don't think the guy did anything wrong.
I do a wrestling podcast. I don't watch it half the time. It's like, oh God, it's TNA. I gotta go watch this. I don't really want to. Alright, a guy's rubbing his crotch in Chris D'Amy's face.
No
I'm watching. No rubbing. Okay, I get it. I was expecting some rubbing, but I didn't see no rubbing.
No, I remember watching the show and I was like, what, did I miss something? What the hell happened?
See, you didn't watch it either.
Oh, I did, and then I watched a video. I was like, well, this ain't nothing. This is nothing. There's nothing here to be bitching about.
Yeah.
He stood up in the corner.
Uh-huh.
What if Rick Rude was around today, people be like, we gotta call Chris Hansen. Get this guy locked up.
Is Chris if Hansen the cheaters guy?
The guy on the Catch a Predator.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's not with underage kids, but I'm just saying, he'd be out there gyrating, people, oh my God, that's sexual harassment, oh my God, we're gonna call the cops. Look at DX out there, oh my God.
Do you honestly think, though, somebody messes up your name? Like, you messed up John Duggan's name at
yes.
Days of the Dead. You think that should allow him to come up and start rubbing his crotch in your face?
For one thing, there was no rubbing of the crotch.
But all right, he held his crotch closely to your face.
If he would have stood up on his chair and just looked at me, I said, well, I deserve that.
So you would have just taken it.
I was up on the last one in L.A. Kane Hodder got up on stage and clubbed me in the head. Did I say, oh, my God, I'm calling the police? This is friggin' assault battery? No!
Some guy who thinks he's Jason just hit me in the head.
If you're in the wrestling business, it's professional wrestling, and for all you smart marks out there bitching about it all the time, saying wrestling ain't like it used to be, it's all scripted, it's all this bullshit, it's a PG, and then something happens like this, and you get your panties in a bunch, I'm giving it to all of you, and I've been trying not to say this word, you're all a bunch of fags! Fags of the week to Mark Madden! To Melvin, and to everybody out there who is bitching and complaining about Austin Aries, a real man, a real wrestler, who's trying to be a heel, who's trying to live the wrestling lifestyle of going out there and being an actual heel and doing it live and improvising. Kudos to you, Austin Aries, and all you naysayers out there. Fag of the week.
Do you think that really was improvising, though? I think he just probably wanted to put his crotch in her face.
Well, if it wasn't in front, then it was written down.
No, I mean, I think that came out of a desire in his brain that he wanted to do that.
He just stood up and he just stood up there, and her face happened to be there.
I've talked about Ric Flair kind of like gyrating his crotch.
Yeah,
like
he would. He'd be moving the hips.
So I can't necessarily endure this either.
Well, it's way worse. Ric Flair's, then I don't care about that either, but Ric Flair, he'd be moving the hips. Hey, baby. And Rick Rude, he'd be rubbing his. Michael Hayes.
Well, it was all right for Rick Rude to do it because he's not like a billion years old. It's not quite
it's
as creepy.
It's Aries.
Yeah, Austin Aries isn't a billion years old.
So is Austin Aries hot enough for you?
No, I'm just saying. He needs to, you know, get a little bit of a build. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, he went a little bit further than just looking at a girl in the crowd and said, you, baby, and then kind of, like, doing the gyration. He did get up and, like, have his stuff, like, probably an inch away
from
her face.
She's a part of the company. So what?
So he should be able to do that to Dixie Carter?
Yes, you should be able. If you're in wrestling and you're out there, you gotta take some. You can't be like, I'm friggin' prim and proper. I'm not taking a crotch in my face. Wrestling is built around crotches and faces and men. Tight underwear, then women. She goes out there and she's got like her whole cleavage out.
Yeah, that is true. I think this could be a good storyline. Maybe like Dixie Carter could get him in the ring and like make him apologize, and then it kind of breaks down to him be like, I'm not apologizing. And then he starts like gyrating his crotch into Dixie Carter.
Another thing is, I am sick of apologies. Fuck apologies! Who's one of the guys in Ring of Honor champions?
Yeah, but I was saying it was like a storyline, you know? Like,
I've got something I'm going to say here.
Mm-hmm.
The Ring of Honor champion...
You've been snorting coke again.
Frisky. They actually sell my favorite energy drink now, my Frisco.
Oh, thank the heavens.
Frisco's out there. He's a world champion. He's on Twitter, and he says... And I don't like this. I don't like this at all. But he says, something about fags getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't like that. And if you disagree, and if you tell my kid that this is cool, I'll shoot you. Now, that's a terrible thing to say. Awful thing to say. Mm-hmm. I terrible. But they make him go out there and talk and apologize and say, well, you know what? My name's not even Briscoe. It's McGee or some bullshit. And this is all a gimmick. No, that's ruining wrestling. Don't do that. You can't have a guy up there just go up there and say, hey, I'm not Steve Austin. I'm not really, I don't drink beer. I drink Diet Pepsi.
That would be a letdown.
Yes, you can't do that. You can't. Undertaker doesn't walk out and say, I'm not an MMA zombie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just an old man who's banging this skinny broad.
She's half my age.
I was an MMA fighter.
Uh-huh.
That's why I go. That's why the only thing I break character for is the USC. I claim to respect wrestling and hate all you hate everybody who disrespects the wrestling business. But you know what? USC's in town. Oh boy, I'm gonna go down there and break character. I won't go to such a Stoneheart funeral. I won't go to the Hall of Fame because I'm the Undertaker. But, oh my God, there's a big fight in town. I'll go down there, and hell, I'll even talk out of character on the microphone on TV if I can get on the UFC pay-per-view, because I'm the big fat Undertaker.
Chucky Liddell's there, hell yeah.
I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, but Austin Aries, kudos to you.
do you honestly believe that he should have done that?
Yes, I'm not condoning it necessarily, but I'm not villainizing. I don't think there's anything wrong. I think it's blown out of proportion.
No.
I will go this far. I am a fair man. People out there think I hate women. I don't hate women. So, she had a problem. She's like, you know what? Your balls were near my face. It kind of freaked me out. And you know what? What did he say? All right, honey, I'm sorry. That's the amount that should happen. That is, he should not be fired to spend all his bullshit.
I don't want your crazy vegan wiener around my face. Keep it away. That's what she should have said.
So, Incher.
Yes, sir.
If that happened to you, what would you do?
I would probably put on some shades of JYD and just headbutt it. Teach him a lesson. Just take your forehead and drive him freaking hard into those balls. You'll either look extremely gay, or he'll be in a lot of pain. Then that vegan would just be writhing in pain, screaming at his balls. I think he's a vegan, isn't he? I've heard that before.
I think so.
Vegans shouldn't be in wrestling. The only vegan that should have been allowed in wrestling is probably a Killer Koloff. Other than that, I don't think you're tough if you're a vegan. He didn't really have a huge build either, though.
No, he didn't.
No. I don't know. The vegans aren't tough. I'm putting it in stone right now. The vegans are not tough.
I just get this in. Okay. I'm a sad man.
Mm-hmm.
Sad man. Yeah. The incident of sexual harassment by TNA star Austin Aries on Knockout Christy Hemme has already prompted messages of disapproval from TNA president Dixie Carter and Spike TV. And now it's reached the front page of TMZ. The celebrity news website has dug into the story and found that Austin Aries has been given a severe fine as punishment for the act. The amount of the fine is unknown.
He should have gyrated. If it was an extreme fine, he should have got his money's worth.
He should just friggin' splooge right on her face.
That's how people are making it out online. I thought I was going to see something really graphic.
I was hoping to see some, like in this, like, penetrating her throat or something. But in addition, TMZ reports
how
that Aries...
How would you announce to the Young Bucks or whoever was next?
big loss to the rest of the
group. Christy Hitty's throat has been destroyed. By Austin Aries, vegan cock.
In addition, TMZ reports that Aries has reached out to Christy personally to apologize.
Should be. Can you imagine being a boss and have to apologize for one of your idiot employees rubbing his crotch in your face?
There's no rubbing.
I know, but it's funnier that way.
Here is the box set of the history of professional wrestling.
I'm sorry, Jack rubbed his crotch in your face in the face.
Go watch this. Go watch everything that's ever happened during the Attitude Era, during Nitro, and tell me. Should we apologize? You'd watch and say, "Heh, this is nothing."
It really did look like nothing.
Wrestling. Oh well.
It really was a whole lot of nothing if you actually did watch it. All he did was just stand there. I like to make it out like he was gyrating in front of her and everything. But he just stood there. There was no contact. I mean, was it a little too close to have somebody's crotch if you weren't doing something inappropriate? Yeah, it was probably a little too close. But that's about it. I mean, it really wasn't too big of a deal. So, I don't know what Mark Madden's getting all in such an uproar about. I mean, what's been done for him to make him so pissed off about this? I mean, nobody rubbed their crotch in his face. Wasn't he the guy who sat right beside, like, Oklahoma while he was sitting there?
But that dude, look, the guy was part of Nitro during its raunchiest time. Chavo Guerrero, who for years I thought has been just completely useless in life.
Oh, man. He's catching some shrapnel, isn't he?
He went out on Twitter, and he defended Austin Aries, and he said, Mark, man, where were you during the... You must have been going apeshit during the Attitude Era. You must have been pissing your pants, to coin a phrase from Reality on the Message Board. You must have been going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hell yeah, Chavo Guerrero's just moved up in my book. Put the friggin' belt to Chavo Guerrero. Ride Pepe around the ring and rub Pepe right in that woman's eyes. See it right in her mouth.
You know, we were giving Miss Christy Hemme some glares in the elevator, and she got a little, like, out of shape about that. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
As Doran would say, we maybe looked a little rapey.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, she dresses like that. I'm sorry, I gotta look. You know, I mean, I can't stop myself. I am a man. Well, I'm not like the Michael Jackson.
In her defense, there was a guy on the elevator with us, and when she got off, he said, oh, I can still smell her.
Keep it between the bros, Jack. Don't be telling everybody.
He starts stroking himself in his face.
Now, if he did that, I think I'd be offended.
I was like,
hotel management?
It was like from Silence of the Lambs when the guy's like, I smell your pussy.
No. Oh, man. Yeah, that would have been a little creepy. But he did say, I can still smell
it. It was a little creepy, all right.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy, I guess. But it was kind of like an endearing type of creep. It was like, you can understand where the man's coming from.
All right, we've been reprimanded by Juju Beast, and we're just talking too much about this.
But it's pretty big news. I mean, for TNA to actually have something that's like newsworthy, it's mind-boggling.
I'm blown up. I got to do another line.
Another bump in the trucker's car.
Well, let's get Norn Rad's view on this.
Nah.
And we'll go to something else.
Oh, I don't really care anymore. I mean, I don't think the whole, like, this is wrestling thing goes.
Now, if that was your daughter, Norn, and he had his vegan cock rubbing it in her face, what would you do, Norn? What would you do?
Well, first of all, she'd be in the wrestling business.
I mean, there's a vegan on TV rubbing his crotch in your daughter's face. What would you do, Norn?
Still rubbing.
I'd pick that midget up and drop him on his head.
Exactly. Exactly.
He didn't do anything awful. He was just being a dick. And he put his dick in her face. he didn't, like, really, really do anything that awful.
No, he wasn't.
But the fact that he got in trouble, it's his own damn fault for being an ass.
I like you. I like you. He's like, I'm a friggin' heel. I'm gonna go out here. Something happened. People are crying about it. I'm gonna rub it in these marks face. Yeah, that's right. And he's making all these balls.
I don't think that's what I was going
to
with
mine. That's right, Austin Aries. That's what I want to see in wrestling. I'm tired of all these boring assholes who are all PG and afraid to do anything. At least he went out there. Maybe it was a real thing. I don't care. But he went out there and he rubbed it in people's faces. He took something that actually got to people. And he's like, I'm gonna twist the knife a little bit. I'm like, I appreciate that.
There was no wrestling psychology going through his vegan mind. He was just thinking, I would really like my penis in her face. That's worse than the guy who said, I can still smell her.
I just think it's hilarious that this ends up on TMZ, where all he did was stand on the middle rope, and Jay Briscoe said that he would fucking shoot somebody for telling his kid that gay marriage was okay.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad. Yeah, that, and I like the Briscoes, but that was bad.
Yeah.
Bad. And but like I said, I don't like the idea.
I never would expect that from the guys who wear like a rebel flag on their head to a ring. Go figure.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's one thing though to be like I'm against it, which even to me, that's why why I've been trying to keep away from the total fag of the week, because there are certain fans out there who will send me messages, and it's clear that like they really believe that like I want to go up there and like bash gay people or something. And that's not my belief. I'm a very liberal guy. A lot of times I say stuff to now I'm doing what the freak. See, they got me all riled up. Now they got me breaking character and destroying the legacy of Jackie Jones. That's what wrestling is doing. They're pussifying America. They're pussifying the youth of the world. And I won't take it anymore. So no more of this breaking kayfabe. Everything you hear out of the mouth of Jackie Jones is 100%.
If he ate a steak or something, he would have been thinking clearly. He wouldn't have done that.
I'm glad you're not apologizing anymore, Jack, because I think you're 110% right, and I'm going to go bash some fags.
That, yes.
Terrible.
And I'm going to put an In Your Head sticker on their bloody head.
Just like, remember you used to put the kiss that don't miss after Johnny and Dad would be the guy? That was awesome. Just think about the intro. He just got beat by this big fag. A fake black guy. He's a Jewish guy who got really tan to become black. And he acts like Little Richard. And he beats you. He's covered in glitter, makeup, got red lipstick. Not only does he beat you, but then he puts a kiss right on your face.
Oh, man. That's
insult to injury. Just like Austin Aries going on Twitter and saying ball sack and all this stuff. It was that an insult to injury. And hell yeah, that's my boy, Austin Aries. Double A.
I don't know. Getting fucked by Big Vis would be worse than getting kissed by Johnny B. Bad.
But the management wanted that one. They're like, go out there, and your finishing move is you ass-rape this dude.
It wasn't even a finisher, though. It was like a setup move.
It wasn't even good enough to be his finisher.
Did he ever go for a pin after he fucked him in the ass?
Oh, my God. That big old boy is just banging him in the ass.
That's awesome.
He should have done that to Hemi. She said her ass was hungry. Maybe that was the problem. She said, my ass is hungry, not my mouth. What are you doing, Austin?
So did anything on Impact this week besides this happen?
It didn't. No, we don't watch Impact.
it was just that for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Apparently, James Storm like ripped his stomach in half or something.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, going down for the three count. Yeah. Doing a move.
Like he ripped his stomach in half, like his abdominals, like his muscles,
tore those something his stomach.
Groin, I think.
Yeah, he might be out for quite a while.
Okay, because I was thinking, like, if you actually tore like your stomach in half, you probably would just die. I bet.
Yeah, I like to exaggerate.
Oh, okay,
I don't think that was the actual medical thing.
He hurt his groin, but Austin Aries' groin is just fine.
He just goes to the doctor like, "Damn, son, you ripped your stomach, Dad.
How you breathing right now? You should have died from internal bleeding like an hour ago."
Is that how the doctors are in West Virginia?
No. I found a fine doctor, and he's going to get me on track. Yes, sir. I love that man. Somebody finally listened. Anyway, do what?
No, I'm glad. I'm all kidding aside, Intra, I don't want you to die.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I want you to live. I want you to be a happy man.
Totally.
Thank you, Norm. Thank you. Thank you, Jack. I appreciate it.
You know, for your return here, I do have something, because this is something that started on Impact. We're building up to...
Sorry, listen to that monotone singing. This here is my story. Ooh, bound for glory.
We're bound for glory. The defense is my glory. Woo! Bound for glory. I'll win the year, kind of glory.
Remember that, Christine?
Bound for glory.
Begs to differ.
Shout out.
I think he would have went a little further.
They were bound for
it. I think I can get this eye socket out.
It's the story. Because I'm bound for
that's a tune. What's this about?
That was my William Morey. I was doing the. yeah, was that any good? I mean, no good.
I didn't know what good. Was happening.
No, right? I'm sorry. Well, Well, Austin Aries, yeah, that's about it. I don't know what else to say about that.
Let's close the book on it. Let's just go to some other news.
All right. Well, Triple H last week, he gets his office destroyed, and he comes out and he's just like, no big deal, bro. It's like, God, can't this guy sell something? It's like, they have this whole production of going to the freaking Titan Tower or whatever you call that, WWE headquarters. And he goes to Triple H's office and he destroys it, and then Triple H is like, no big deal. He's like, God, sell something, you asshole. Make it look important. Come out like, you destroyed my belt.
For someone who loves wrestling so much, and I believe that he legitimately loves wrestling, like, he married into it. He loves wrestling, okay? I totally buy that.
And Stephanie rubs her crotch in his face.
I'll take
he
that.
Does, there's a lot he don't give, a lot of basic stuff. It's almost every feud he's ever had, unless it's like with his buddy Michael or something. It's always just this non-selling or ripping the other guy down so he looked like a nobody by the time they finally wrestle.
Yeah, I don't understand it. It's like, this could be so good, Triple H, but you will not play along with the game here. You just make Brock into nothing. I mean, he's just some goober who just walked into the Titan Towers and busted up his office. I mean, you gotta sell it somewhat. You gotta say, that's my title belt. I'll destroy you. He could have said, like, Ric Flair gave it to him or something, you know? Mm-hmm. Do something to make it meaningful. Just don't come out and be like, no big deal, bro. I'll kick your ass.
This is also my office, this ring. I became a man here.
He's like, you did? That's a little creepy. You should have done that somewhere else.
See? That's what I'm saying. The ring's all about.
Come on now.
That was, they really paid their dues when they were training with her.
It's like, hey, now you're becoming a man. He's like, is that what I'm doing?
That's why they gave that move to Vis, to Big Vis. It was an homage to Triple H's wrestling dream.
Man. But yeah, this Brock Lesnar Triple H feud, it could be good stuff. But man, it's just pretty lame, honestly. I'm kind of pumped up to see this match because I think they might want to make up for their WrestleMania thing, you know, because it wasn't really that hot, you know. But I don't know. I don't know if there's, like, Triple H. I just don't think he's willing to do business with people. He's like,
this guy could totally destroy me in real life, but I got a beating fake. Plus, he's under contract, and we can do that.
10 years from now, when people come into his office, He'll point to a picture on the wall of him standing over Brock Lesnar in a steel cage, and he'll just be like, you see that? That picture cost $5 million. Pretty sweet, huh?
I just wonder if his office will remain ramshackle like it did. I know that was just that some was sort of, like, closet or something that they made to look like his
I
office.
I bet it was totally... I honestly believe that he'd have a sledgehammer, like, on his wall.
That's so lame if he does.
In a flat screen that's not even plugged in.
Yes, in a 1997 laptop.
Could you imagine having to be the guy who's like, got to mount this sledgehammer on the wall for the boss? Like, what the fuck?
That's
who am I working for here?
You've got to expect bullshit like this.
That was a pathetic office, too. If that was really Triple H's office, I mean, good lord, he's basically the family now, and he has like this little closet as an office.
I think it's funny that they went to the real office building, and then when you go into his office, they built a fake office, like what a retarded person would think a rich person's office looks like.
I mean,
you're missing a point here, Incher. They said it was Paul Levesque's office. Obviously a shoot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It was a shoot, yeah. Man.
The only thing
pathetic that really is
a Triple H door poster. Door.
He had a Triple H door poster?
That'd be awesome.
Oh, God. But
this must be his office.
It's so bad, though. Like, he totally knows. They took all this time to do this and really just built something and destroyed it. Like you said, the next week is totally like, nope, don't mean nothing to me. And I knocked you out cold, and then Brock runs away like a pussy, and they're just buffoons.
No, I think it's just Triple H doesn't want to act like Brock Lesnar is like a threat to him. I don't know. Brock has to go over in this match. I mean, he's lost twice to him now.
I want you to go back in time and
oh.
Back to before WrestleMania 3.
Fire up the
Hulk Hogan. The biggest superstar of our time. Maybe of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there with Andre the Giant. Now, Andre the Giant, a legend. Household name. And dear to millions of people's hearts. But at this point in time, he's older. He's hurt. He's kind of broken down. But... did they talk about that? No. Hulk Hogan put him over. They talked about him continually that he was the man. He was the giant. Now, Hulk Hogan, he was Hulk Hogan. He didn't have to do anything, but Andre John, he ripped that chain right off his chest. Ripped that cross off his blood trickling down. And Hogan was there at his knees crying. Oh, God. He knew that you had to build up your opponent to keep them strong, because then when you beat them, or if you don't beat them, even if you lose, like hopefully Triple H, you build up so people buy this, because they say, holy shit, you got this guy, oh my god, both guys are amazing, they're gonna kick ass. So then you go, holy shit, I'm gonna buy that. And then whoever wins, they actually beat somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But this loss, they don't do that now. They go up there, they say, oh, Ryback, he talks like an ass. He cuts these promos like he's a 12-year-old pretending he's a wrestler. How does that make anybody want to see the match?
No, no, it's one thing that is missing from wrestling today. You gotta make your opponent look like a threat.
Yes.
You know?
If Hogan went out there and he just looked at Andre and laughed, said, oh, like this old man, he's got a bad back, and I could probably just knock him over. Ah! That would buy who WrestleMania 3 would have been a big flaw.
Exactly. Take notes, Triple H. Take notes. Heed our advice! Because you're going nowhere with that office.
We'll just have JR do a Legends Roundtable in 5 years where they talk about this feud, and they'll just say that Brock Lesnar's character is a...
By God, that was the best feud I ever did see. WCW would have did it. It would have been crap.
I love you, WWE. Let me suckle upon your ass, Vince McMahon. Oh, Vince. Let me kiss the ass.
The one guy. It was so great when DDP was on there.
I'm hog hunting this week with Shawn Michaels.
Man, they were taking some jabs at JR, weren't they? They were like, he's hunting his own kind and everything else, and I was like, what the hell is Triple JBL and the King talking about?
If you love the... This wrestling is weird. You have to be very humble that you're even there. But you can't be too humble. You can't love it too much. Then they just strike and rip you apart.
Mark's talking shit about me on the internet.
I was watching the DDP YouTube that Sean Oliver, good guy, over KFAB commentary, sent me a tribute.
Ah, Sean Oliver.
And he's like, the biggest mistake I made because I came off as a mark was after I signed the contract with WWE, he's like, this is the place I always want to work. So I said, no, I don't want to shake your hand, Vince. I want to give you a hug. And from that moment on, they saw him as a mark and ridiculed him and sabotaged his run. And even made an angle out of that, making fun of him with Steve Austin hugging Vince McMahon. Because you can't love to be in the company too much.
I'll teach this motherfucker. He just wants to hug me. He's gonna pay. Oh, he's gonna be the smiling asshole. That's who he's gonna be.
But if you're Shawn Michaels, who says, you know what, I'm 180 pounds, but I ain't dropping this title to Sid. I lost my style. I'll just go home. Mm-hmm. Then they'll say, well, you know what? You can just sit at home for 5 years and we'll pay you.
Jesus Christ, we need this guy.
If you're a total asshole, then you will get whatever, they'll open the freaking gates for you. But if you're like actually happy to be in the company, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually brought Howard Finkel to tears picking on him because he loves to be there so much, and they know that, so that they just like rabid Wolverines. Ah, what kind of mentality is that?
Yeah, we need to make Jimmy Jam cry. Want to be on the show with him, do you, Jimmy Jam?
We're gonna make you cry, son.
Whoa, what kind of...
Then we're going to worship Satan afterwards. Ah!
What the hell's the matter with these people? I mean, God. Cut somebody some slack. He's hugging because he's happy to be there in the company. Don't make him the smiling asshole who stalks the Undertaker's wife, who's pretty hard looking. I mean, come on, Kimberly Page, she would beat the dog shit out of that girl for, like, weeks. I mean, she was way hotter than freaking Sarah.
Exactly.
Good Lord, that girl was hard looking. What biker bar did he pull her out of?
That's to say, that is a good...
You've got to look like Chuck Liddell.
I'm going to give thumbs up to the DDP YouTube. I'll be doing a review of it here soon, but...
Excellent.
Sean Oliver, he got the man to talk about wrestling.
5 hours in, I'm talking about YRG, you just cut that out.
I do want to wonder if there was like a 10-hour shoot condensed down to two. That's why it took so long to release.
You know, Sean, the YRG.
I listened to a DDP interview recently, and I like DDP, but I listened to it recently on F4W. And it was not, no joke, no exaggeration. This isn't me blowing it up. There was no talk of wrestling. It was 1 hour of him nonstop talking about yoga. And I thought, oh my God, who could possibly want to hear this?
He did one like that right before WrestleMania, too.
It was just, oh my God.
I'd probably make him a smiling asshole, too. Fucking, you don't shield this bullshit to me for 6 hours? I'll teach you. You're stalking this hard looking gal.
He's always emailing to come on the show, and I'd like him to come on like often and stuff, but Oh, my God. Every question you ask him, it's like, so what did you think about this match with Sensa? Well, let me tell you. Why YRG is going to change the world, brother.
You like ice cream? I don't like it since I started the YRG.
He was talking on the F4W show that Yoga saved Chris Jericho.
Did Chris Jericho need saving?
He said that Dancing with the Stars wrecked his back, which I thought, man, what a way to make wrestling just like the biggest like bullshit in the world. This guy's wrestling for 20 years, and then he goes on Dancing with the Stars, and it wrecks him.
Come on, Dancing?
Yes. And then Meltzer, like, the next day, he was like, oh, yeah, that show really does wreck a lot of them. I was like, oh, shut up.
It's like, come on now. I mean, are you, like, being slammed in the ring didn't do anything for you, Chris. I mean, come on. Don't tell us Dancing ruined your back. I mean, Fred Astaire, you never hear him talking about, oh, the fucking back. You know?
And then he was saved by Yoga, and I was like, well, how long has Chris ever not been in wrestling for? Like 6 months? When was he destroyed? And then he had to make this huge, what is he talking about? And then he went even further, and he started talking about how Ryback does Yoga, DDP Yoga before every match. I'm like, I don't want to know that. You want to think of this big badass guy doing freaking yoga?
It's time for my yoga. Downward dog.
Yoga rules.
Yoga rules.
I do get a kick out of him just saying these phrases during matches. I don't know why.
he's a goober. Oh, man. God, is wrestling just the shit. It's just like...
He slams someone. He's like, right back, rule. I was like, I don't know. I think that's awesome. That's like my favorite thing about the guy.
That's about it. He's going to be jobbed out to John Cena. Aren't you glad Cena's got the belt again? Oh, boy.
There's like six guys that just constantly revolve around the top. Like, only Big Show, Mark Henry, Sheamus, Cena, Punk when he's there. And I like Punk. I like some of these guys. But this Orton, like, that's the only guys that could ever be in a program. Like, mm-hmm. they're just constantly in feuds, never-ending feuds, and they just cycle them around. Del Rio and Swagger. Well, they're just stuck in a never-ending feud for years, a feud that no one wants to see but must see forever and ever. Like, this is friggin' Ric Flair Steamboat here. We're going to show it forever and ever and ever.
Ah, this ought to piss the marks off.
Just put it on again.
It's like, couldn't they cycle some other guy in there? Like, even if you got to keep the, like, I don't know, now, you know, Cena's feuding with Cesaro or Damian Sandow or... Somebody
new. It's like Mark Henry in a strap match with Sheamus. Who wants to see that?
Extreme Falls 43.
What? Extreme Falls 43. Whoa! My God! I'm convinced he's Vince. Because he's just like, WWE is so fucking crazy. It's like, come on, man. I mean, you gotta admit some things are off.
Love John Cena with the fucking belt. Keep it on him.
It's like,
that's the money right there.
I got me the guy. John Cena with the belt again. Oh my God, it's killing me. It's like, who wants to see this goober with the belt again? He just comes out. Everybody loves Cena. Good Lord.
No, they don't.
Nobody loves Cena. Everybody
pretend that they're... It's one thing when he used to come out every once in a while and there'd be half the crowd be booing. And then he'd give that little, like, smirk, like, oh, it's one of these crowds. But when it's every single crowd, every single show, every Monday, every pay-per-view, you can't keep making that face. You gotta know, oh, yeah, half these people hate me.
You know he goes to the back after he's done with that crocodile smile and he's like, well, give me some porn stars. Give me something. Something's got to hold me over. These people hate me.
He's responsible for his worthless ass girlfriend and her sister having jobs, too. Who the fuck wants to see the Bellas?
They have been pretty bad on their new comeback.
Really?
I mean, my God.
The Bellas have been bad?
Yeah, but they're more prominent now. Cause they're banging the big guys. I mean, they're on TV more. I mean, do you really want to see the Bellas doing commentary?
Do I want? No. I don't want to see them doing anything.
I'd rather see more Inspector Kali.
That's actually the best thing he's ever done, I think.
He gives the best advice.
Do you think he realizes, like, everybody's just, like, you know, making fun of him? He's like, man, I can't talk English at all, but whatever, I get paid.
He's getting like $1 million.
Just keep doing me.
Yeah. You sound like the guy from Office Space. The guy made $1 million.
Yeah, I guess it beats like riding the camel somewhere. Well, what better would he have to do?
Live in a house made of feces.
God damn, I'm in my house of feces. It's like, yeah, I think I'd rather just be made fun of in the WWE.
If you live in India, you live in houses made of feces, but then you go to the bathroom, like, out in the street.
You gotta just add to the wall.
That Indian dude's gonna hate this shit. Well, it was a couple years ago he said something, and he just went crazy on the board.
Oh, man. Well, what can you do?
It sucks to be him. He lives in India, so.
I'm sure that our fan base in India won't drop off too much.
I don't know. What was that show? It got, like, he did, like, a million, like 10 million people watch it. TNA India.
That was a freak occurrence. That was just strange.
Why did that stop? They said, like, everyone went to see it, and then it just stopped.
They realized that TNA was shit.
Like, TNA India, this is doing well, we better stop. But that's an Aces and Eights vest.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're selling an Aces and Eights vest. And, you know, at first I thought, you know what, this is kind of cool, but as Norn pointed out, it doesn't have the Nomads thing on the bottom.
Nope.
And it's got nothing on the front. Like, it doesn't say President or, I don't know, Sergeant of Honor. It should say something on the front. It's got no patches on the front, just a black leather vest with the Aces and Eights logo, which I do think looks cool, I'll be honest. And it says Ace Eights. $165!
Money well spent.
And then that same day, people even joked that it would be on clearance. That same day I went back and was already on sale for $125.
You know, there's just some guy behind the desk somewhere, and he's like, oh my God, I think I put too much on the Ace and Eight vest. Gotta mark it down instantly.
If you look at that site, everything is on clearance all the time. Like, stuff will be a dollar.
Man.
How do they keep making stuff? Like, well, another failure.
One of these days, it's gonna get over. They're gonna actually make money or something.
Is that sadder to wear a $165 Aces and Eights cut to a wrestling show or to bring a replica belt?
I'm going with the cut. I'm going with the coat's got to win. Yeah, I think you're right there, Norm.
I might wear the coat.
Instead of saying president on the front, it should say real bikers kick my ass.
Like, I would probably own a TNA replica belt, but I don't know if I would own a TNA shirt. I think that's just the nerdiest thing ever. It's like, how can you support TNA? It's like, they gave you nothing. I mean, all these years, they've had moments where they could have had greatness, and they just destroyed it. Nothing. They gave you cheeks.
I'm on the page now, and like every TNA shirt's on clearance for $6. $20.
I'll buy that for $6.
I mean, they have to probably cost that much to make them.
I know, like, they probably just ship out all of their unused shirts out to, like, some third world country somewhere.
So if we go to India, just everyone's walking. So maybe that's why...
Houses of shits and DNA shirts.
They're just all wearing DNA shirts. That'd be awesome. Half these shirts have skulls on them.
DNA, they all accepts with skulls? Why are skulls on all my shirts? Why can't I get a tits and ass shirt without the skulls?
Oh, man. You can get a
I would
DNA
like to be
Christmas
doing my customer service
like
calls without wearing a shirt with a skull on it.
You can get a TNA Christmas ornament for $1.50.
Why would you want fucking TNA on your Christmas tree? Are you retarded? Why do you want TNA on your Christmas tree? I would think, well, I'd rather think of anything else during Christmas than TNA. I'm ready to kill myself as bad as it is. Like, I used to be a young man, and this fucking holiday meant something. Now I got TNA on my fucking tree. Just blow my goddamn brains out. My life couldn't get any worse. TNA is on my own Christmas tree. Maybe if it was the barbed wire tree, that would be pretty cool.
I've got a TNA 50 Greatest Moments DVD that I got out of a bin for $3.
Was it the same moment over and over again?
I'm embarrassed.
All right, we lied. It's really just two moments.
It's Toby Keith and Randy Savage.
Oh,
it's like,
man.
There's like 50 pages of 8x10s. Why do they make an 8x10 of everyone that's ever been in the company? If no one ever buys them. You can buy a Murphy 8x10.
That's what I need. I need a Murphy 8x10.
A Sagriento. I don't even think that's what they called them. I don't think that was ever the man's name.
That guy's been gone forever.
But his 8x10s remain.
They gotta chill that stuff. Somebody
like,
has to
holy
that.
Shit, we gotta make 5,000 8x10s. This guy's gonna be taken off with.
They got any tickets,
They probably do. I do not see. They do have. They still have TNA guitar picks.
When I'm strumming my guitar, I need to see TNA merchandise in my hand.
Don't they still have Jeff Jarrett guitars on there?
I don't see them. They had them here for the longest time. I remember they were like $200, and they kept getting. They were down to like $25.
That's
they decided,
a pretty cheap
like,
guitar.
Here, just use them. They're cheaper than the other breakaway guitars.
At that point, they should just break them up for heat. Set them on fire.
Here you go. They got a cookie 8x10.
A cookie 8x10. Oh, Cookie! God, I forgot all about her. Man. God.
It's kind of hard to be Murphy.
Murphy. Gosh.
I got 8x10 of Murphy.
Yeah, whatever happened to his buddy there?
Gunner?
Huh? Yeah.
How about Jesus?
He was kind of becoming a big name for TNA, and then they just
That's
stopped
what
using him.
He was, him and Crimson were a tag team on that one night only pay-per-view they just had.
Oh, did you watch that?
Fuck no. I listened to a review for it and heard how fucked up and broken the continuity was because they taped it 4 months ago.
Man, I mean, who wants to watch those pay-per-views either? I mean, it's like, what the hell? It has nothing to do with what's on TV. And it's
who
like,
the hell is Brian Stifler?
Oh, that's the referee, dude.
Why do they make 8x10s of some ref?
God, I should blow my goddamn brains out for knowing it's the referee.
And they wonder why their merchandise don't sell. No one's buying this 8x10 of Brian Stifler.
Man, not even Earl Hebner.
Who's Sam Shaw?
You don't remember Sam Shaw?
No.
He was like the cab driver dude. He was like the referee.
The cab driver?
He had like cab driver pants looking thing. He had yellow. They were yellow and stuff. And like he was the referee who became like the wrestler. They love doing that storyline. They've done it a billion times. They just recently recycled it for Taryn Terrell.
Hot mess.
Here in the chat room, Jersey Viper says, TNA's bringing back the Suicide character.
Yep.
Everybody loved him.
All right. Well, Norman, thank you for calling in. Someone's really pissed that we haven't got to him, so we're going to have to get to him.
No problem.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Incher.
We got Freak Ezekiel on the line.
Yeah.
Piss.
What's up?
Piss. He's heated.
Yeah, what's up?
He wants to talk to Rocky King, and he didn't get a chance to do it.
Oh.
I mean, hell, I got a phone number, but I just wanted to prove to the world I wasn't lying about that.
What?
Mm. The song that he had.
Oh. Well, we'll have him on again.
He said he'd come back.
Yeah, we had him on for like an hour.
When did y'all come on? Like 8 o'clock?
The same time as every week. Since we started the damn show, Freaky Seeky.
I've always thought it was like a little bit after 9.
How long have you been listening to the show?
I told you, I always listen to, I'm not listening now, I listen to like
well, get to steppin'. Get to steppin'. Let's go,
well, like
we're
that,
going to the next,
always...
next call, next car. Shaheen, what is on your mind?
Yeah, what's on?
Not a whole lot, Shaheen. Good hearing from you again, my man.
Yeah. Shit, man. I was hearing you guys talk about the whole thing with Chris Hammy and what's his name? Austin Aries, man.
Don't that mess up shit, his name. Man. He's going to rub his crotch in your face.
There was no rubbing.
Honestly, man, if you guys are wrestling fans bitching about this, why the fuck do you watch wrestling?
I agree. There we go.
Like, he didn't even need it. His dick wasn't even in her. Like it was in her face, but it didn't touch her. Like, who gives a shit, man? Honestly, man, people are fucking... I just don't understand, man. If you're that much of a pussy and you bitch about shit like this, you probably shouldn't watch wrestling, you know? I just don't understand. Maybe they like the aspect of grown
really
men in their underwear, you know?
I wasn't really bitching about it. I was just saying, like, it probably was a little uncalled for. I honestly can't work up, like,
Yeah, but going in public and apologizing, man, this
yeah,
is like
that's,
the third
that's
time people
much.
Are apologizing.
Most people
year.
Didn't even notice it until, like, everybody made an uproar
yeah.
about it.
And it was her fault anyway. She called him the wrong name. You know, I understand that.
She's asking for it.
Yeah.
She's practically begging for it.
She probably liked it anyway.
Nah, he's a vegan. She probably didn't like that.
He's not big enough. He's not prominent enough. If it were Triple H out there, it'd be like, hell yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going to be started on that guy, man.
No, that's the key to her date.
With his fucking chest hair.
I'll get inside. I don't condone rubbing the crotch in someone's face. But there was no rubbing!
Close.
And Jay Briscoe apologizing now, man. Everybody's fucking apologizing. I started with Bubba Ray, and everybody's apologizing.
All right. The world of apologies. People need to
especially the
up.
Briscoes, man. I miss these guys.
Wrong.
Mm-hmm. I met the Briscoes not too long ago, man. These guys should not be apologizing, man. These guys are straight up like hicks, like literally. They're not. This is not a fucking gimmick. They're literally fucking hicks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they love it, you know. I respect them, man. You know, I like them as a tag team. You know, I don't think they should be apologizing, man. It ruins everything.
Well, I think what he did, I honestly do think what he did is wrong. But I think to break character and apologize, it hurts your company. And it hurts their marketability, hurts their believability. So I think that was the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it should be handled, you know, in company behind closed doors.
Yeah, speaking of that, I just got the I was watching on, you know, WWE On Demand, and I was watching I think it was Judgment Day 05. They got a segment with Booker T's wife, I guess the Nitro Girl. She got like raped by Kurt Angle or something. Like, how people bitch about that, and they bitch about Austin Aries
that's
climbing the turnbuckle and
that's
it,
when wrestling
yeah.
You said like I'm gonna have bestiality sex with her.
Yeah, that was straight up rape, man. I watched that shit. I was like, did you just rape her? Is that what I just watched?
No, it's a rape. It was basically saying that that a guy, a white man having sex with a black woman was like bestiality.
Yeah, I mean, that's even worse, you know?
Like, hell yeah. This is what I want, right?
Well, you gotta cut or angle some slack. He was on like a shitload of pills back then.
He must have got hooked, though. He's like, I like this bestiality. Like,
yeah, man, I was cracking up, man. I never seen that because I stopped watching wrestling for a couple of years. I never seen that, and I just seen him. I want to have sex with your wife. Like, oh shit, man, I was missing out on a little bit. That shit was classic.
Yeah, I don't know if that was really classic.
Booker's like,
oh man, that's classic stuff.
You didn't
right
just
there,
say
man.
That.
That's classic, man. That's got to be classic.
Well,
man.
Yeah,
I've never heard of a girl getting raped on TV. I mean, rape's not funny, but you know, just wrestling wise, you know.
Depends, I guess. Depends on the context. We just lost this caller that called it. They call it here, rape's not funny, and then I said, whoop, wrong show.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so, do you think rape's okay if you say April Fool's after?
No. It is not okay, Jack.
What if I was like, man, that was a hell of a rib.
I think, you know, Rocky was talking about, like, killing somebody if they pee on you. I think you should be able to do that. If somebody pulled their cock out and pissed on you, you should be legally able to just shoot that fucker in the face.
I agree.
I mean, that is just messed up. You don't, like, just take your penis out and start peeing on people.
Mm-hmm. You do it up and pour it on them.
You do that, I think you should be able to kill them.
All right, Shaheen, thank you for calling.
Look
in.
At me cross-eyed. I think you should be able to kill him.
Exactly. So I apologize to everybody in advance, but I have to get up early, so we're going to have to try to get through the callers quick. All right.
All good, man. Have a good one.
You too.
Take her easy.
432 area code, who are you?
This is Destin from Big Spring.
All right, how you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I was in the chat room tonight and talking, and I said totally... thing. TNA needs to change their name from TNA to TSA to Total Sucks Ass.
It was not good. Yes.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. I mean...
Yeah, over the years, it has gotten worse than when it first started.
Yeah.
Because
they used to give you moments of greatness. I mean, you're like, hey, hell yeah, this AJ and Daniels match is pretty good. I like it.
Yeah.
Joe versus Daniels is good stuff. You know, stuff like that back in the days, but you don't get any of that anymore.
No, because I remember one time, a buddy of mine that I've known for a long time, he used to work for a NWA promotion in Dallas, and we had hosted the NWA anniversary show and convention down in Corpus, and this is when TNA first started, and back when the Jarretts were running it, and I thought some of the guys were good. We met AJ, and this is when Hernandez had worked for NWA Southwest, and I started liking it, and in the last, I would say, 3-4 years, especially when Hogan's been involved, it's gotten worse.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's like Hogan wants to run everything and micromanage everything in the company. It seems like that to me. But it's like he can't wrestle anymore, so it's like, what's the payoff? It's just Hogan walking around acting like the goofy commissioner.
And what got worse was when they brought in the old WWF guys like Nash and Hall and all them.
I do like seeing some of those guys, but I don't know. I mean, they're not in very big roles, and it's just they kind of seem pointless after a while. So I guess, yeah, they probably shouldn't have used them so much.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what TNA can do, but they're definitely not holding my interest.
So they're coming up on this pay-per-view, Inchman.
Yes, sir.
Now, Sting versus Bully Ray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, since they only have the 4 pay-per-views a year, you're going to have to wait another 3 months before the next pay-per-view. And they're also building up that Hogan's going to go for the title. So does Hogan wrestle Bully Ray in 3 months after this next pay-per-view? Or does Sting win the title, and does Hogan wrestle Sting at the next pay-per-view?
I think, you know, if you really want to build somebody, you would definitely have him wrestle Bully Ray. It's like, you've seen Sting and Hogan wrestle, you know, a couple of times. Never been, like, great. But
yeah, because I've watched some of the last pay-per-views on YouTube, and they've actually, the product was not that great.
I'm a big fan of Bully Ray. I really do like Bully Ray.
I always liked Bully Ray from the days from ECW, and when him and Bubba were in, or him and Devon were in WWF.
I've really been a big fan of Bubba since his ECW days. I really liked him then. I liked him in WWE. I like him now. And I'm actually, you know, I was having fun there. It's trashing TNA, but that is actually something I really enjoy, is Bully Ray in TNA.
Yeah.
It's really nice that he's reinvented himself, and he's gotten in the best shape, and I think he's one of the best heels and one of the most entertaining guys in wrestling right now.
Yeah, he is. And I always liked him as well. And, you know, he's one of the great, I would say, not tacticians, but fighters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, not every wrestler should be a catch-as-catch-can, you know,
right,
moves and stuff. He's just like a thug guy, and he puts together matches that are fun to watch. And I think he's one of the better talkers and promo guys. He actually gets legit heat, and I like the guy.
Yeah, I always liked his promos. So,
all right, now, so Dustin, you, what's your wrestling company?
Well, my friend, it's not me, it's my friend Rob. He's on your Facebook page. Rob Moore.
All right.
Yeah, and he's working for some independents over in the Dallas area.
Okay.
So, and he's worked with a lot of guys, including Hernandez, who is a dynamite guy.
Yeah. All right, man. You go on quick. I have a lot. We got to do kind of a short show today because I got to get up early. But
okay. Well, thanks for letting me be on the phone with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Calling anytime.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Keep loving the TNA. Oh, man. I love it.
I do know someone who does love TNA. And sure, he's a brown bag specialist of the Headyverse, and that is the Bad Man Maple.
That's great.
My God, you do have to be a madman if you're in love with TNA. What makes you love TNA so much?
I love it. It's like the, it's all right. I just don't
want to watch it. It doesn't seem like you love
folks,
it so much.
This is their biggest fan. He's like, it's all right.
Okay. Being honest.
It's nice they're on TV, man.
I mean, anybody who likes wrestling now, no one's going, oh, I love it. They're like, that's okay.
yeah, I can kind of say that overall. It's like, I'm never, like, going off the wall that Monday Night Raw is coming on TV. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll kind of watch it.
You're not going, man, did you see that Did You Know segment? Oh, higher ratings than Law and Order. All right. So I have two things to say. Number one, I'll make it quick. I watched the last attack. I enjoyed it for the most part. I liked the Abyss part because it was corny as hell, and then Abyss showed up, and he was like, "Arr!" And then he knocked over some guy, and he chokeslammed Anderson through a table, and then he gave Black Devon a black hole stun or whatever the hell it's called. So I enjoyed that. And then the main reason I want to call, I think it's been covered though throughout the whole entire show, and that is how much of a piece of shit Mark Madden is.
Yeah. Definitely. I just don't understand why he's defending Christy Emmy so much. I don't get where he's coming from. I mean, I guess he just feels like it was so wrong that Austin Aries did that. I don't know. I mean, if he grabbed, her head and he was, like, gyrating and everything, I'd say, that was really uncalled for. But he didn't
but
do it.
But awesome. But awesome.
I probably would have loved it. I'll have to admit.
No. Mark Madden doesn't believe in what he's saying. He's an attention whore. Basically, throughout his article the last few months, he calls women fat, ugly. I guess when they
you know what? That's a good point, Madman Maple. You're an intelligent young man. He just put out a thing just recently where he was berating Caitlyn for being fat and not attractive, which was unwarranted. What does that have to do with anything? And then he turns around and all of a sudden he's the moral, you know, upstanding individual saying, "Oh, what is he doing to this woman?" When he was just out there berating a woman for no reason at all that he doesn't even know.
Yeah, and I guess recently on
it's true. I mean, I'm not in Mark Madden's court. I'm not taking up for the man or anything. I'm kind of at a loss why he is defending her so much.
But. Kind of at a loss of why he's even.
Like, why is he watching TNA? I mean,
I'm going to go on that, man.
I'll tell you why. Put it this way. And also, he said, I guess when ROH hired Maria, he said that they're hiring a vagina. So he's no white knight for women's rights. He's a fucking attention whore. He's a hypocrite. He's a snitch. He's the worst wrestling announcer of all time. He's a shitty writer. And he's a fat bitch. And I don't like him very much. I hope he gets breast cancer.
Well, take that, Mike. You know what? I might be the only man in the world, but I actually liked Mark Madden when he was doing commentary.
Why?
Because he said fly, fat ass fly when Hugh Morris would do the moonsault. I thought it was funny.
And that was it.
You know what? You didn't get a laugh out of that? Fly, fat ass fly! I was like, hell yeah. That's a reference from Mallrats.
There you go.
It made me feel like You made me feel like WCW, his commentary made me feel like WCW was just a really shitty show I shouldn't watch.
Well, it wasn't very good at that point, Tom.
No, well, yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. I just wanted to call in and say how much I hate Mark Madden, how much of a bitch that he is. And he snitched out, he also said he called the executives at Spike TV.
Mm-hmm. As an Italian-American intro, I was always raised to not be a snitch. That was always one of the worst things you could be, intro.
Mm-hmm.
You can hate women. You can be a homophobe. You can be a xenophobe. But do not tattletale. Do not snitch out. Don't be a snitch.
I'm not sure of the point you're trying to make here.
Love of the mafia.
Oh, okay.
All right, Madman Nathan.
Take her easy.
Terrible phone call.
Oh, you were wow, grateful. Madman Maple, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Put your ears to the speakers right now. You're a goddamn good caller.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let anyone, don't let anybody tell you any different. You got
exactly.
That kid? You got that pal? You listening to me, boy?
Mm-hmm. You didn't call in and talk about your bedroom suit? You did good.
You brought topics. You brought it. And you brought it good. So remember that, kid.
Mm-hmm.
You got mocked.
You seem to be informed when we start, or we come live on air. That's always
that,
a good
thing.
You got
that, you son of a bitch! I like you!
Hey, thanks, man.
All right.
The problem is my self-esteem yelling at me. Telling
I don't like you that much. I think this is enough.
You know, this kid needs some pussy. Get some pussy. He'll have self-esteem.
There you go. Words from the inch man.
I'm well aware of it.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, Triple M.
All right, man, take care.
Goddamn pussy magnet.
Let's see here. Oh, we got a bunch of people.
He's the mother of my Elixir.
Hello.
Hello, boy.
Elixir!
War.
So what? Bring it, boy. What's going on? Bring it, man. I guess I'm watching.
Well, I got a cryptic question for you. If you remember the
I think you always do, don't
of Ben's movie, You Know Evil, because it serves importance for Sunday's date. If you remember the date.
I remember the movie. Okay. I don't remember when it actually came out. I had to fill us in on this, I think.
19th, and this Sunday is Extreme Rules pay-per-view, and it falls on May 19th. So do you think we'll see Kane do something sadistic or evil or anything or
dastardly
things?
No, I don't foresee Kane doing anything. You probably just come out and just say, "Hey, I'm Kane and I'm tagging with Daniel Bryan tonight."
I think Daniel Bryan will probably remember Kane about me, because we haven't really found out anything about the main actor's day.
Did you remember that Kane's movie came out on May 19th, Jack?
I did not know that.
Yep. I didn't either. Lexar, you're scaring me right now.
So what's the point of all this? Are you saying that Kane's going to rip the Shield's eyes out and put them in a jar?
Probably.
And then masturbate.
And despite the fact we haven't found out anything about that the date and the storylines at the time, so we'll probably find out what will happen with Kane for Sunday. And Daniel Bryan will probably remember Kane about the thing.
I bet that's going to happen. Well, I want to thank you for calling in, my Alexa. You're a good man.
Thank you, guys. And don't forget, May 19th.
No, we won't forget, my Alexa.
I'll never forget that. What was that date he was talking about again?
Hell, I don't know. I forgot already.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But did anyone see that new WWF movie, like Everyone Must Die, Everyone Gets Killed? Or...
Everybody Must Die!
It had Brodus Clay. How come Brodus Clay didn't get, like, talked about on WWE TV? How do they pick and choose who's, like, their... Like, Miz, they talk about him being a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta see the Randy Orton in the new 28 rounds or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, but Brodus Clay, he's in this movie, like, killing everybody. It's like everyone must be fucking dead. Mm-hmm. And they don't mention it.
They don't care about the Funkadactyls. They don't care about the Funkasaurus. They don't care about Sweet Tea.
Do they think that it breaks his character?
I guess so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty good in the role. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he looks like a big killer.
Yeah, I'll give him that. He looks pretty good. I doubt I'll ever see the movie. But
no one lives.
No one lives.
I don't know. I'd like to see it. It's good to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it when people die. A gang of ruthless highway killers kidnap a wealthy couple traveling across country to shockingly discover that things are not what they seem. Stop clearing your throat on the show, jabroni.
Compelling.
It's good. Alright, let's do it.
Don't worry, you'll be able to get it at the bargain bin pretty soon. You'll be able to see that bad boy for $5.
$5
foot long. Subway sucks.
You don't like the Subway?
They're all right, but I don't know. If I'm picking a place to eat, I'm going to pick somewhere else other than Subway most of the time. It's just like they just cover their sandwiches in lettuce.
Like, I don't want lettuce. I'm not a fucking rabbit here. I'm fucking 1-inch biceps.
Exactly.
I'm not freaking Austin Aries with the vegan penis.
No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I got the carnivore penis.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I don't know what that means.
It means you're into docking.
Docking? Docking like the old 80s band?
No, Google it. Docking.
Docking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You probably don't want to Google it.
No.
All right, we got Freaky Seeky back on the line. Well, let's see. Let's give it a shot. All
right, what's up?
Hey,
Freaky Zeke.
Well, freak out, Zeke. Not doing PKL.
He's a little hot under the collar because he didn't get to talk to Rocky King, but
it happens.
It happens. What's on your mind about professional wrestling?
Right now, I want to say the whole Austin Aries, Christy Hemme thing. You know, I'm gonna put it like this. You know, if it was unplanned for real and it wasn't scripted, if it wasn't the worst thing, but okay, maybe he should apologize, get it over with. But right now, I'm like, homeboy, I'm tired of hearing about this shit, like, for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all kind of blown out of proportion, I guess. I mean, but...
And Mark Madden, who I gotta agree that I liked as a commentator, he just needs to shut the fuck up. Like, why? I mean, is this dude really serious? Like, do you need this for attention, man? Come on.
Yeah, and it's a good point that Madman Maple brought up, that he was calling, like, Caitlyn fat just, like, a week ago. So it's like...
What?
Yeah, he was calling her fat. He wasn't down with Caitlyn. How do you feel about that, CJ?
Somebody needs to smack Mark Madden upside his damn head.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fat. We call that thick, and it's great, and it's wonderful, and Mark Madden, I guess he's just pissed off he hasn't seen his penis in weeks or something. I don't know.
You totally have to, like, go crazy like Pac-Man Jones and make it rain if she was around in this
trip. I would, yes, I'd definitely make it rain. It'd be a motherfucking thunderstorm.
I'd make it rain quarters. Can I bring change, like a roll of quarters, to the strip club? I can make it rain.
No, you shouldn't do that.
Is that ever, done in West Virginia? No, I'm not kidding. I'm serious.
Like,
I know somebody
have I ever seen somebody pull out a rack of quarters and just throw it up into the air?
Roll of dimes, anything.
No, if you keep the dimes rolled up, they might, like, slip on those. You know, those roll all over the floor. That would be bad times.
So you need a little bigger than the dime.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can't really use loose change in the strip club.
No, it doesn't work any favor.
They got a little slit right in the back. You can just drop them like we're right in their ass crack. Cha-ching.
Okay, all right, check it out. Hey, that would be kind of cool.
See?
But anyway.
Freaky Sickies down.
My ass is like a change machine. I can break a dollar for you.
There was a kid, Robert.
I'll shit out four quarters for you.
we used to play D&D down at the porch at my friend's house. And this kid, Robert LeBaron Holmes. I love to say people's full name. I don't know why. They probably don't.
His name was
them.
Robert LeBaron Holmes?
LeBaron. Robert LeBaron Holmes.
His last name's LeBaron Holmes?
No, his last name was Holmes. His middle name was LeBaron.
Who called that kid LeBaron?
I don't know. LeBaron Holmes. It was amazing. But anyway, he'd have his jeans ain't quite fit, and his crack would be hanging out. And we used to put change down in his crack. And I always wondered, like, if he must have known. So I was, like, too embarrassed to say anything.
Do you realize that you are a bully? I mean, so the kid's ass crack is hanging out. Why do you need to deposit quarters into it?
Not quarters.
Yeah.
Christ, we're not... No freaking high spenders here.
Well, that's even more insulting. You're dropping, like, pennies in there?
Yeah, anything you find laying on the ground.
God.
We did it. I mean, you would think you'd have to feel it. Like the cold change, like, rolling down your ass, right?
Yes, he probably felt it, and he didn't say anything until he went home at night and cried himself to sleep because the kids are being so mean to him. He wasn't dancing topless. He didn't deserve that.
It was fun times, huh?
It was good times. They dropped a stale pretzel down my ass.
Hold up.
The Baron ain't gonna take this shit in a few years. The Baron's gonna beat some ass.
He used to put change in the guy's ass crack.
Yes.
That or he either thought something was seriously wrong with his digestive system. He was like, damn, my stomach converts like Taco Bell into quarters.
Maybe to save him and like when the ice cream man would come with him, come down the road and be like, oh yeah.
Mom, I'm shitting pennies.
I could buy myself a push up go now.
You got problems.
Save up a little bit more. I get one of them blue pops. What were the ones that were like red, white, and blue?
They had several different names: rocket pops, bomb pops. They called them a bunch of things. Just depends who made them.
While I'm on the line, I'm going to say something else.
All right, we'll make it quick.
I want to say that last week, like, I was at work and called to, like, be a part of the show because I didn't want to not be. I didn't pay attention, and George South was on, and I asked him a whack-ass question, not realizing it was one of my favorite people on the radio. So, to Mr. George South, I do think you're one of the guys that actually listened to the show that interviewed regularly, and I want to say I apologize. And, man, I admire you. You're one of the greats. All right, doing well.
All right, you know what, Freaky Seeky? You've redeemed yourself. You're the man. I'm giving you a pat on the back.
Hell yeah.
That was a stand-up thing to do. You're a good man.
That's right. I gotta be classy. I mean, sometimes, you know, 2 minutes ago, I was cussing out a bunch of jabronis on the message board, but I'm really a classy dude.
Well, thank you, Seeky. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Tell
oh, yeah. And
Tina
San Antonio is hotter than Scarlet
Bush.
Whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what, Zeke. I don't know if Inch even knows the spot coming up on the show very soon. Winter.
Winter.
Oh, Lord. Oh man.
Someone that I've been a huge fan of for a long time.
I am a fan of winter. How'd you know?
Well, that should be interesting.
It came up at the our friends over at Remix Pro Wrestling, can Winter come on the show? And Ben Plow was like, absolutely.
I gotta make sure that I call in at 8 o'clock for that.
8 o'clock. P.M. Eastern.
I'm off for Winter. Yeah, like, for real.
You know a wrestler named Jules Malone?
Yeah, I've talked to her a few times on Facebook, yeah.
All right, well, she also might be coming on the show to plug one of our friends' wrestling tonight.
Okay, so she's going to be on the show too, huh?
Yeah, at some point, Tom.
All right, what about David?
I do have to say this for people out there. Can't say what movie, but I will be filming a movie in June, so I'll have to be taking some time off the show because I'm going to have to go to L.A.
Mm-hmm. I need to be the gift host.
I'm sure it'll be the Perez.
Yeah.
I need to be with the press. Hey, Sal McGee, yo. Whatever happened to the Sal McGee whole becoming a host thing? What did y'all do to stress the whole thing?
He's the president. He's still very prevalent on the Facebook. So if you want to get in touch with him, you can. I legally can't say too much bad about him intro on the show, but
and I'm aware of that. Yeah.
But if you want to get in touch with Sal McGee, he is on Facebook.
All right, I got it. He all sent me a request, as a matter of fact. Big shout-out to my man, Sal McGee.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk to you soon, Seeky.
All right, man. As usual, you know, sorry things happened earlier.
That's
all right.
Gotta go. Gotta keep going. Sorry. But thank you, Seeky. Right. Good man. We'll talk to
later.
You
later. Have a good show.
I agree.
All right. We got John the Songman.
Good evening to you all.
Good evening, Johnny. I've seen you post a lot of pictures on Facebook.
I see you've been doing your homework.
I'm studying every photo that you post. I'm like, he's posting another one. And another one. And another one.
Tell me, I'm so confused, by the way. What did I just hear about maybe 2 minutes ago from Jackie?
No, he said that
stuff.
He used to drop change into LeBaron's ass crack.
If there's something new that I would enjoy from Ross, like I'm saying, like they're being teachers with Did You Know? Did you know out of all the years that women have been murdered, they've been murdered by people from In Your Head because they can't stand women?
You know what? You know what? I'm standing up now. John the Song Man. I'm going right over to your Facebook page right now. John Hader McGee, whatever the fuck your name is. John HTR Garabedian. John Garabedian. You come on our show. You come on Jackie Jones. You come on One Inch Bicep Show. In Your Head Wrestling. IYHWrestling.com. Started in 2005. Who started it? Jackie Jones. One Inch Bicep. It's our show! You come on this show, and you start talking about eating women and killing women. You know what, John? Hebba-da-higga-gababa! I'm going over to your Facebook page, because you have about 300 different albums
filled with pictures of women. That is what a stalker does. That is what a creepy bastard does. So you come on here, and you have the gall. You can come on here and say, you know what, Jackie Jones, you hate women. 1-inch biceps. He wants to kill babies.
And you know what? Over on your Facebook page,
right now, you've got over 600 photos
of all these women I don't even know.
You've got over 200 photos of Shania Grimes. Over 400 photos of Amanda Bynes.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these people? Why? Why? You've got 655 photos of Rain. <laughs> 286 photos of Santana Garrett. 260 photos of Amanda Peet.
You know, I was thinking the other day.
283 photos of Jennifer Love. then I'm giving it to you. 615 pictures of Lacey Cabaire. Who the fuck is that? And off these pictures, if you look at them, they're almost like stills. Like you were watching them talk, and you took a still of every moment. That is creepy! So, me talking about women's wrestling, Intra talking about some bimbo at the Hall of Fame talking about her baby.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's insensitive, but it ain't creepy. You, my friend, you, John the Songman, you are creepy. Go on, Intra.
I'm Jackie Jones, who can't stand bugs because they make me think of slugs. When I was with my friend who was on drugs, who was hugging some bug.
Mm-hmm. You see, Jack, that's not creepy. Look at him. He totally redeemed himself right there.
I rest my case.
I was thinking the other day I could use like 387 photos of Jennifer Love Hewitt. And John the Songman, he fulfilled
if
my
you,
fantasies.
Now, let me put the entry. Go over to John the Songman's Facebook page. And you watch his behavior. You watch his posts. You watch his it's like you're watching the slow evolution of a psychopath, of like a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh yeah. So this is what leads to the people that hunt down and you know, trap women.
Mm-hmm. Which
Ninja,
makes me say,
way,
John,
you
you're a good man.
you watch Jackie. Every day or week, he'll put a picture of him cooking every meal each day with his giant fork and food.
He's a stalker of food. He loves it. He can't help it. I don't condone the man for that. He's like, look at this steak. It looks good. And I have to agree. It does look good. You like the women. You like to post pictures of women.
But it's the fork and the sausage.
And that's fine, but you might do it a little bit too much. It is a little creepy, John. I gotta give you that.
My name's Incha, who loves to lift weights while I watch my tapes because they make me want to ride my roller skate when I go before I show everyone my face.
I love this kid. He's a psychopath.
But he is our psychopath. Thank you for calling in, John the Songman.
Be afraid.
One thing I want to bring in very quick before
all right,
I go.
All right. Let's make it quick. Make a little.
So why again do we have to have a test again? Like, I always bring this up. But, okay, Daddy, what's a strap match? Daddy, what's a cage match?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just show it on Raw because it's
call
this
it Daddy.
Team. Because it's like we say, the kids don't know anything, and it's all for the kids. And
yeah.
That's the thing, like, what's so extreme even about a goddamn strap match? That is not even extreme anymore.
What do you
anymore.
Want them to do? Go up there and just blow each other away with shotguns?
Well, I think he has a problem with them always explaining that it's a strap match and what you do in a strap match.
You got to explain. I mean, not everyone knows what it is.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows, like, the only time that was only once at Judgment Day in 2001 that was way more better, of course, was the chain match between Kane and Triple H.
Well, the object of an extreme pay-per-view is you want variety. So you can't have every match the, you know, stab each other in the face with shards of glass, man.
Yeah.
One you have thing, to have variety.
One thing I know is that if Jack were to take on John the Songman in a strap match,
and they had in one corner of the ring 426 photos of Jennifer Love Hewitt. And then in the other corner, they had like 826 photos of Lacey Chambers. I think John the Songman would probably win that strap match.
And how would Inter react? Tell me.
If it was turned John the Songman's ass into a change machine, I think Jack would win that match.
I would rather him say,
I don't know what's happening.
I just think, like, oh, this is so exciting. Who's going to die first?
John, I'd love to study you for a while. I'd love to observe you like a psychiatrist. It would be a good time, wouldn't it, Jack?
I've put out there I'd like to do a shoot interview with John the Songman on the show.
Like, what's next? You are my Jackie, my only Jackie. You make me happy when you're on the air, because I enjoy when you swear.
There you go. Can you do me a favor before I let you go?
Yes.
Can you call me Daddy?
I'll call you Papa Jackie.
All right. Say it. Hear it.
Papa Jackie, and thanks again. And I'll talk to you next week, Papa Jackie.
Thank you.
And Daddy.
Thank you.
There you go.
Hey, that was something. I don't think I can ever be clean again.
Well, that happened a long time ago.
Oh man. So let's see here. We've got
That's a good caller.
We got Miss Destiny on the line.
From a 2 week absence, Miss D is back, Jack.
Hell yeah. She came back. And she's in black.
Because I'm going to explain to everybody in the chat room what happened. Geez. You know my desktop computer? You know that little button on the lower left?
So you turned off the computer, and now it's on. Well, thank you, Miss D.
No.
That's a very interesting story.
I had a power problem.
Why do they make Mark Henry just seem like he's the baby face in this feud, and Sheamus is just like the asshole?
Yeah.
Oh.
I had a power problem.
Okay. Now you're back. So, but that, Mark Henry, they do test of strength, and they do arm wrestling and all stuff. And then Sheamus just, punches him in the face.
Ha! He's gonna drop this fat guy on his butt, fella.
He does that big, he's like pulling trucks across the finish line, and then they're rooting for him and cheering for him, and then it's like, but he said, why is he the bad guy in this? What's he done to Mark Sheamus?
It's kind of like the Zeb Coulter push. It's like, I kind of agree with Zeb Coulter. Why is he the bad guy?
Yeah. Are we ever going to see the end of the Sheamus feud with Mark Henry? Or the
it seems like it's been happening forever. Yeah.
I think this Del Rio feud's a long... Del Rio, though, and Swagger. It's just never ending.
Yeah. And Dolph Ziggler got taken out of it because the pothead kicked him in the head.
Yep.
How serious is that? Is like, did he really just kick him in the head and he had concussions so they had to take him out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said that he's got he lost his memory. He's got
amnesia.
Retrograde amnesia.
Look at that. She's got the friggin' knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
And Jack, I got a new laptop.
Why is my hair blonde?
Yeah, I'm just saying, I got a new laptop.
Where's the rest of them? Oh, I thought we were cheerleaders.
I gotta go get
with the spirit squad. What, the fire? All of them?
Hey, Jack, are you gearing up for Extreme Rules?
Extreme Rules! Ah!
I think they're going to put a Divas title belt match on there.
Boy!
There you go, Jack. It's just what the doctor ordered.
I've got a question.
Hey, Jack?
What?
I got a little bit of a serious and a silly question.
All right, well, hold on.
What do you think of humans naming their inanimate objects human names?
Well, you know what? I'm going to answer that. I'm going to say, the Shield, they've been building them up, having the best matches on the shows, on the pay-per-views. They're undefeated. Then they lose the DQ. Why? Why?
Yeah, that was pretty silly on Monday Night Raw. They had the elimination three-man team match. I guess it was a six-man match. And, they eliminate them all down to Jon Moxley and John Cena, and then they got DQ'd. They all ran in and attacked John Cena, so.
Even if they depended, it would have been better. Like, it would have been, like, a waste of that build to have them just, you know, lose to Cena, but who would build that up and have a DQ? It's just, like, the most, like, lamest end.
They did it all for nothing, basically.
People bitch, and WWE will bitch forever about Nash ending the Goldberg streak. And they build up a streak and have a DQ'd end it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the total nothing, let down. That whole Raw did like a pretty piss poor job of building the pay per view. There was like that. There was a bunch of count outs.
Yeah.
Nothing like, well, man, I really want to see, you know, what's going to happen at the pay-per-view.
And again, guys, I really, really miss you guys. I'm just going to say my old computer had a power problem. I got a new laptop in the store.
Excellent. Well, thank you. We're glad to have you back, Miss Boo.
And guess what? Remember when I told the big news that my stepbrother is having a baby? We found out the gender yesterday.
Now, is he having a baby like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movie?
No, his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend is having his baby.
You should have known, Jack. You impregnated him.
That's hilarious.
Give myself a Barry Horowitz pat on the back.
Lord knows I've been trying to impregnate you for years.
Well, that's just the rumor because the doctor said my sphincter is so tight. That is causing a condition, so that can put the rest of that rumor.
See, after all these years at FanFest in the hotel room, I was trying to improve your health. I'm like, just let me out. It's going to make you feel better.
And Jack, whatever. I'll get a good time shooting that movie in June.
Well, thank you.
And if you need a
an inch,
let me know, okay?
Your nose is gonna be a good time.
And guess what?
What?
Danny, you can
find me on IMDb. I should have an IMDb credit.
All right, I'm gonna be the.
Are you in SAG now?
Nephew. What'd you say, Andrew?
Are you in SAG now?
My stepbrother's having a baby boy.
Okay. Awesome. That's good. That's great. I'm glad for you, Miss
Jack is totally interested.
Plus, I'm turning 30 in like 25 days.
The big 3-0. It ain't so bad.
What, 180 days, did you say?
25. From now until June 10th, I think it's 25 days.
Calm down, Jack. Calm down. That's great, Miss T.
Yeah, and I know you're not from Boston, but I wish your neighboring city of Boston good luck against the New York Rangers in the Stanley Cup playoff semifinals in the East.
There we go.
All right, and sure. Thank you for calling, Miss D.
Okay,
it's enough. Quiet.
And I just want to say,
enough.
I love you, Jack.
I love you too, but that's enough. You're
pay no mind to him. He's on some energy drinks tonight.
What, are you on Red Bull?
Yeah, he's drinking.
Red Bull. That's like kid stuff.
He's or on Loco?
Oh, that's fucking horrible. Loco. Oh, that's bad.
That's a lot of caffeine he's got there, Mrs. D. Anyway.
I had so much caffeine, I puked one time.
You did?
Yeah, I puked because I had Mountain Dew Code Red and a cup of coffee within 24 hours.
Cool.
With the wrestling, I'm just
enough! 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 All right, Incher.
You handled that well, Jack.
Let's go. What is on?
About as best as it could be, though, I guess.
What is on Extreme Rules? Let's go over these matches.
Alrighty.
Let me pull it up. Alright. I probably should let her talk.
I'm sorry. I'm just...
Oh, it's okay, Misty.
And I'm happy to become an auntie, and I can't believe I'm turning 30. I don't look like it.
You look very young, Mrs. D. I would have thought you just turned 19.
And Jack, I'll tell you family secret on staying young. Good jeans, good skincare, and no Botox.
There you go.
I deserve this. I feel like I'm a good guy.
Jack can turn your ass into a change machine.
Like, what kind of change are we talking about?
Penises.
You know what I mean? Like Euro? Like Euro coins? British pounds?
Jack, do you get rare Euro coins to drop down LeBron's ass? Whatever this
ew,
is. LeBaron's
I need LeBron James.
No, this is LeBaron. I don't know about LeBron James.
But Jackie Jones for president.
There you go. All right, Extreme Rules, Incher.
Hell yeah.
Extreme rules.
Extreme rules.
Rules are extreme or extreme just fucking rules.
Oh, when you think WWE, you think extreme.
Oh, Swag says hi, bud.
Sorry, it's enough. All right, we got Triple H or Brock Lesnar in a steel cage.
Triple H and Brock Lesnar in a steel cage. I'm kind of excited to see this one because I think it could, you know, fix what they did at WrestleMania. Not like it was a bad match at WrestleMania, but it wasn't as big as you thought it could have been. So I'm curious to see this one. It could be a good one. What do you think?
I think it has all the potential to be an awesome match if they really just let two guys just beat the shit out of each other in the cage.
Mm-hmm. Brock's got to win.
He's got to win, yeah. Coming off a loss. If he loses, I really think it's... I think they've already hurt him quite a bit, but if he loses now, I think it's pretty much much lost all his worth.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's up next?
Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger in the I Quit match.
Ah, God. Taking Dolph Ziggler out of this match is really sucks. Yeah. I was pretty pumped up to see it. You know, at one time, just to see Dolph Ziggler defend his belt. But now, it seems really flat. Swagger versus Del Rio, we saw it at WrestleMania. It wasn't so hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen him wrestle, seems like half a 100 times, I don't know, like 40, 50 times now.
Mm-hmm.
They're just on TV constantly, feuding. Yeah. It just never ends, and...
This is for the number one contender. Who should win it?
It should just be a double DQ.
Yeah.
Get somebody new in there.
Yeah, they voted Jack Swagger to take on, what's his name there? Big Urkel.
Big Urkel, that'd be an awesome name for him.
Big Urkel on Raw. Big E Langston. So that was kind of strange that they would take Swagger
really,
over Del Rio.
Yeah, they've been really building him up, Biggie Langston.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of stop. I don't know. It's very weird, all their builds in WWE. It's like they build them only so far. It's like they only want guys over to a certain extent, not too over.
That's all they need right there.
They just need everyone interchangeable. But yeah, it's very weird that they would vote for the villain. Mm. I think that's really telling that Alberto Del Rio, like, no one gives a shit about him.
Ah, shucks.
United States champ Kofi Kingston versus Dean Ambrose.
I like that Dean Ambrose is breaking out from the Shield. Like, I was wondering when they're going to have just the guy take on one of the guys, you know, in a single match. So I'm looking forward to seeing him, you know, do his thing.
Yeah, I think it'll be an awesome match. Kofi's been coming off some really good matches. He had that really good match with Swagger. With Ziggler, he had a great match with Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this will be an excellent match, and I'm pretty sure they'll put the belt on Dean Ambrose. And I think the idea is not necessarily to break up the team. but maybe kind of focus on him as the single guy of that team.
Yeah.
And then have all the, have three different titles on that team. You know, kind of like the Horseman kind of deal.
Yeah, it should be cool to see. See him in a singles match on Raw. The pay-per-view.
Yeah, and hopefully they, have him win while he's got the U.S. belt.
Yeah.
Let's see. Tag champs Hell No versus Reigns and Rollins. Tornado match.
Ah, that should be cool. I always like a tornado match.
Mm-hmm.
You hardly see those in WWE anymore. But,
no.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, and like I said, Shield really has a... And Hell No usually has really good matches, especially when you get EB in there. So I think that'll be... I think it's time. They've had the belts long enough. And not that I think they're stale at all, but I think it actually, at this point, someone beating for the belts actually means something. So I think it'll be a big win for the Shield.
Could see the Shield with all gold at the end of this show.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Sheamus versus Mark Henry in a strap match.
Oh, boy. Hopefully this one's quick. They just get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
Strap matches aren't very good either. Like, I don't know. Like, can you think of a good strap match?
No. They're exactly the same every time.
Mm-hmm.
They walk around the ring. Now, the heel will have... This is what happens, Andrew. The heel will have the good guy beat down. He'll tag a corner. The baby face will hit the corner behind his back. They'll do this for three. The heel goes to hit the fourth one. The baby face will do something to come back, pull on the... On the strap, whatever, clothesline, whatever it is, and then he'll hit the fourth one and win it.
Oh, boy. Sounds like
happens all the time. They end it the same way every time.
Boo.
Savio vs. Austin was a good one. And that was a pretty good one, and it had that same ending. They always have the same ending. Always. Randy Orton and versus the Big Show Extreme.
I didn't even realize they were building this one. Huh, Big Show versus Randy Orton. Jeez, I don't even know how I feel about that. Doesn't sound very good.
Nah, I don't know. I actually like Big Show, and it's not like I think Orton sucks, because it's so boring.
Mm.
I'm like really, and Big Show's so stale, he's turned babyface and heel just like almost by the week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't even know if when's the last time I've seen this match, but it does seem like I've seen it like so many times.
Yeah. Doesn't seem
to be. Does. No. Jericho and Van Fandango.
Yeah, I kind of want to see this. I think Fandango, he seems pretty interesting. I like the character and everything, and I kind of like how Jericho plays off of him.
Yeah.
I think it could be a good match. People kind of gave him a little gruff saying that he's not so hot in the ring, but I think he's been pretty good.
He's all right. I think it's time for him to, showcase what he can really do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Jericho's a good guy to, I think, for those kind of guys to feud with.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when
he works. What
was the Irish guy there? When Finley was there, I didn't really think he improved a lot of guys that he worked with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you feud him with like a kind of a green guy, and they learn how to work. So. Yeah, it's kind of weird that for the most part Jericho doesn't get the reaction like he used to from the crowd when he does promos now. I don't know why.
Well, they seem pretty hot for him on Raw this week.
Yeah, but they made it this week, but a lot of weeks they don't.
Maybe it's the YRD.
The yoga's taking them down.
Hmm.
Miz versus Cody Rhodes on the pre-show.
Man, he is falling. He's on the pre-show again? He was on the pre-show at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
He's done something. It's somebody off. He's hugged somebody or something.
What? He was overheard saying how much he loved working for the WWE.
I'm
like, what the fuck? Let's show this guy.
Boy, nobody can be happy in this company.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
It'll be a match.
It will be a match.
Cody's been having some good matches lately.
He does have good matches. Why the hell did he put him on pay-per-view?
I don't know. Because we have to have Orton and Big Show, Mark Henry, Sheamus, Jack Swagger, Del Rio.
That's the one people want to pay money to see.
Gotta be the same guys on every show. And then the main event, John Cena versus the Ryback. Last man standing.
I'd like to see Ryback win this one.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Cena with the belt is just so damn boring anymore. How many times have we seen it?
But he's got a white shirt now.
Oh, well, that changes everything.
That points to his crotch.
Oh, boy.
I don't get that shirt. It's like kind of like Christy, edgy. I mean,
is that a crotch you'd be all right with? Not a vegan.
Now, Incher.
Yes.
Step back to the crotch. Now, if you could have any wrestler rub their crotch in your face, who would you choose?
If I could have any wrestler rub their crotch in my face, who would I choose?
Dead or alive?
Dead or
alive. They would be alive when they were doing it, though. Maybe. Not like a corpse is rubbing the crotch in the face.
That'd be pretty creepy.
Yes.
Who would I want? I don't know. Let's make it Vince McMahon Sr.
Holy shit. Man, you're weird.
So like, I'm in the Vince McMahon Sr. Kiss My Crotch Club.
I was going to say Stacy Keibler, but whatever you're into, bud.
Yeah, but how funny is that? I don't know. You're just a pervert. I'm trying to make people laugh.
Yeah, with reality.
The reality of me fucking your ass.
So how is your sphincter remote going?
It's going. I don't know. They say it's probably just my gallbladder, but they can't even test for it if I have my gallbladder in, so... I've been wanting my gallbladder removed for, like, years now, so let's just get it over with.
Well, I do hope you feel better.
I felt really terrible last week. I would have been here, but I seriously couldn't eat anything. And I started feeling, like, better around Wednesday, but I still wasn't eating a whole lot, and I had a doctor's appointment that Thursday, so I just went ahead and stayed off. So. But, yeah, I feel pretty good right now, so... I just never know what I'm gonna feel like. Some days I'll just feel totally horrendous, and some days I feel alright. It just depends what I eat, I guess. I live on basically grilled chicken anymore. But, oh well, I'll get over it. I'll get past it. Just gotta deal with things, I suppose.
Yeah.
What else can you do?
Roll over and die.
Yep.
But yep. You want to live. You want to live the life of the one-inch biceps.
I want to live so I can just come on here and be humbled by you. Oh, what was it? I'm lapping up your humility.
Yeah, someone, you're just lapping up my humiliation.
That's right. Love it. I'm the Howard Finkel of In Your Head. Jack's put me in tears before.
Uh-huh. People also have a way with words.
That's amazing. But anyways.
You're bringing up bad memories here. Juju said, I said that no more dicks to the face.
Where do you want them, baby?
Yeah. If I do have to get some testing, I might have to go, like, to a hospital far away. I might have to go up to Cleveland.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Get, like, a sperm sample or what?
Nah, that's where, like, Juju works.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, I don't think
she's going to be giving me a sperm sample.
Well, I think you're probably giving her one.
Thank you, Jack. I know that's not what you originally meant. You're just lapping up your humiliation for me.
That was awesome.
Well, you love it.
What do you think when someone says something like that to you?
I just think, okay, crazy person. I'm not going to answer you.
I wish I had the direct quote. Did you send it to me on Facebook?
I think I sent it to you in Messenger, which is obsolete now.
Yeah.
So, I guess you got to use like Skype for MSN now.
Yeah, that's what I do. But if you send me stuff, I don't necessarily get it.
Yeah, because I use the Trillium, so I had to sign into Skype, I guess. Alrighty. Well, Jack, you are a man who has a train to catch in the morning. You know what kind of train you're riding.
Choo-choo! Oh, well, hey, he's on the line here. Before, he's been on hold this whole time. Oh, Jim, Jim, I'll hear that I hide a bit of beer. How about
sir, I'm glad you're feeling better and back on this week.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Fucking nobody.
That's right.
Fucking peon over here.
Tell him, Jimmy, he's a peon.
I'm not going to insult our fearless leader.
See, he remembers. He remembers. He learns. It's like a kid intro. When you touch the stove and it burns you, he's like, I remember the last time I turned on the Jackie Jones. And he burned me right to my core!
John the Song Man had the grass that one.
There was a match, there were two matches you stopped that were on the card for Extreme Rules.
Uh-oh. How many matches are on this show?
8 or 9.
Jesus Christ, what are the other two matches?
You forgot the Team Hell No versus the Shield tag team match for the tag team titles.
We said that one.
And the AJ Lee versus Caitlyn?
That one is not on the website. But I'm sure that would be a barn burner if it happens.
Oh, yeah. Barn is considered burned.
No, just think about this. You got a young, tight AJ Lee on this side. And then you got a voluptuous, curvy Caitlin over here. Which one are you choosing?
Oh, I can almost smell it.
You know what, Incher? Since you're under the weather, I'll let you choose which one you want, and I'll take the other one. The kind of guy.
Because
I'm sure that this will come up sometime.
I'm sure all the listeners are thoroughly disgusted right now.
I'm sure the decision will come up.
Just so we know in advance, I'll take the AJ. That's right, Jack.
The young. Tight.
All right, well,
what else do you
fuck
say?
It. We're double teaming her. High five.
Oh, man, you're in the inbred sandwich. How lucky are you?
So any ladies out there, if that sounded appealing to you, shoot us an email with a picture over to jackisbagbrother@hotmail.com. If you would like to be the meat between the in-your-head sandwich.
So there you go.
That's the way to wrap it up.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
You're listening out there, AJ Lee.
I'm sure she can't. She's picking up the phone right now.
You know what? All you nameless bimbos at like Tazo and Siki and Songman, you know, they talk about. If any of you happen to be listening, which I don't know why you would, unless you want to be lapping up the humiliation. That's interesting. You know? that's maybe that you could get yourself an interview on In Your Head.
There you go. We'll put you over strong.
We'll make you famous. I feel bad. I just noticed that Bessler was in the chat room. He just left. That's the guy who quotes our interviews a lot for Pete for Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I'm guessing that the last hour will not be quoted in Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Oh, well, what can you do? Can't please them all.
Another bridge has been burned. Thank you for listening to In Your Head. It's been a good time.
Bye bye now.
Hey, this is Stevie Richards, and you're listening to InYourHeadWrestling.com.